Blog Talk Radio.
Throughout my life,
uh-huh.
No matter what I've done,
right.
You've been merciful, and your love endures,
yeah.
Through all things. For that, I am eternally grateful.
Since my date of birth, bought you nothing but hurt. Play those video games, stole chains from your purse. Sat on the cold court bench till I was arraigned in your skirt. Saw the pain in your face, still you maintain the smirk. All you did was motivate, don't let them hold you back. What I do, I turned around and I sold you crack. I was a bastard for that, still I'm drowning in shame. Just remember one thing now, you're not to blame. You was newly separated, trying to escape your world. And through my thirst, I didn't help you, I just made things worse. I hated me and everybody that created crack. Had me thinking the newest kicks and the latest gag. Still haven't apologized, so please play this back. While I try to come to terms with such a heinous act. You know in more than one way, cocaine numbs the brain. All I did was think about how the funds once came. Then I ran across this memory and it stung the brain. How can you ever destroy the beauty from which one came? That's a savage, you're the reason why me and these beats make a marriage. Why I rhyme above average and I ain't shit. Glad you got yourself together, no thanks to me. Strong and beautiful, the way things should be. You must love me. Every night, but I never would suffer. Just smile, my big brother's trying to make me tougher. As we grew, fussing and fighting continued. As I plundered through your stuff and snuck your clothes to school. Got intense, real intense as we got older. Never believed it would lead to me popping one in your shoulder. With my rings, knew you had it cause you took too long. As Mickey, Annie, and the girl that bought it looked on. Puffing and puffing, gun in my hand, told you step outside. Hoping, you said no, but you hurt my pride. Made our way down the steps, maybe you thought it was just a threat. Or maybe your life was just that crazy and you was begging for death. Try to justify this in my young mind, but the adrenaline and my ego hurt combined. Drove me berserk, saw the devil in your eyes. High off more than weed, confused, I just closed my young eyes and squeezed. What a sound, opened my eyes just in time to see you stumbling to the ground. Damn, what the fuck I done now? Running around in the circle, thinking I'm ass out. High gun burning my waist, ran straight to jazz out like a stranger. Damn, I just shot my nigga and ran up into the night as if it was not my nigga. Left the scene, how could I go out that way? Still you act to see me in the hospital the next day. You must love me. Within my frame to protect you from this life and keep you away from the game. But you was one of the few people that I can trust. And the fact of the matter, I slang these five for us. You put the pressure on me daily, rarely would you let it go. But for the 1,001 time I had to tell you no. But it was one of those days where nobody was around and I needed an emergency trip out of town. Search my mental Rolodex for all the numbers I know. As you stared in my face, asked me could you go. We said send her, everything will go smooth. Just tell her what to do and everything will go cool. Strap your body with the fangs as you boarded the plane. Couldn't explain the strange feeling that I caught in the vein. I'm thinking, why would I send you when I knew it ain't right? I'm thinking, what will make you sacrifice your life? You must love me.
my IHOTEP and Better Love, and welcome to the Truth to Power show with Tuckmost tonight is joining us, and my name is Beverly. So we're going to be looking at Megavision, game classification. A lot of good information is Tuckmost is bringing here with us tonight. Greetings, Tuckmost. How are you doing this evening?
Greetings, Beth. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Perfect, perfect. Good evening. Good evening to the family.
Good evening. Good evening, everyone.
Yes.
So you're going to enlighten us what's going on with Megavision and things dealing with the tech world here.
Yes. What I want you to it's called the Metaverse. Right?
Metaverse.
So,
Metavision. Okay.
It is called gamification. You're going to be familiar with that term in the in the immediate future, trust me. Yes, good evening to everyone. You had any stories that you saw, Bev, that you wanted to talk about?
No, because I've been traveling for the last couple of days, so I haven't had time to just kind of sit and see what's going on.
Ah, got you.
Do you have any things that you've seen of interest?
I just saw that they convicted the Juicy Smollett dude.
I did see that. No.
Yeah, but I'm,
that,
I'm
that
not
was
sure.
So obvious.
Yeah, I'm not sure how much time they're going to give him he was convicted. I think that was the stupidest story. I mean, you could have made up any story than that, man. Chicago was like 14 below zero that night. Ain't nobody walking around with bleach. Man, that's crazy. You know what I'm saying? But, that's
we
the
in
same.
The we We in the Megaverse. That was Megaverse move there. Metaverse, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And a couple stories I have. One is for Android phones, and I'm sure Apple is they copied a chip from Snapdragon, which is a Qualcomm company called Qualcomm. Their new chip in their phones, which is using a Samsung infrastructure, so it'll be in Samsung phones too. It's a 4-nanometer chip, but the camera has to stay on at all times for the phone to work. So you can never turn off your camera. And as soon as you look at the phone, it opens. You turn away, it closes. If you're looking at your phone and somebody over your shoulder looking at you, trying to look at your phone, it turns off. You know what I'm saying? So they can't see it. You know, so it's they're calling this they're doing this, they say, for privacy. For privacy reasons, but it's all about the metaverse, it's all about the augmented reality. The camera has to stay on because it has to pick up on the barcodes on things so it can advertise to you. So the phone is just falling in line with the technology, everything that's happening. Apple sells this product called AirTags. So you stick it onto something, and if you lose it, you could kind of track it with your Apple phone. And you had a band of thieves using these AirTag tracking devices, and they would put it onto luxury cars and track the luxury car later when, you know, the person parks it, and then they go and steal it. And this was in Canada. And I was like, wow, you know what I'm saying, people using this technology. You know, that type of stuff enthuses me, Bev. I'm from New Jersey, you know what I'm saying? So car thieves has always been a big deal there. So, let's get into the topic. Gamification. We're going to talk about the metaverse. First thing I want to start with is, who owns the internet? Who do people think owns the internet? Do you think the internet has an owner? You know, that's a question people should ask, you know. And yes, it does.
But where did it start from?
Absolutely.
Is it the same
I'm about to break
that
it down.
Started it? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
The internet was established by the Advanced Research Projects Agency, known as ARPA. They were a part of the United States Department of Defense. Today, they're called DARPA. They just put the D in front of it. And that was in 1966. They created it, and it became operational in 1971. The first name of the internet was called ARPANET, ARPANET. In 1989, the U.S. government canceled the ARPANET project and opened it up for public use. In 1990, they changed the name from ARPANET to Internet. So this is a United States government-owned thing, the Internet. Big telecom companies, also called Internet service providers, such as Verizon, AT&T, Sprint, which is now T-Mobile, Quest, Level 3 Communications, and so on. It's like about 12 companies that own 90% of the internet. And you kind of lease it through them using your phone, you know, or whatever. You get your service from them. And, you know, that's how you get on the internet. Now, these companies, along with several others, they did it for this with contracts to the U.S. government. And big pieces of the internet infrastructure was able to be purchased for them for proprietary use. So they control all the towers, cables, servers that we rely on to keep the internet moving. So just think of that. Four organizations work together to make sure that everything in the internet just flows seamlessly together. So there's no problem with one device to the next. The Internet Society, they create the standards and policies for the internet function. The Internet Engineering Task Force work to maintain the stable and secure internet architecture. Internet Architecture Board, they see and oversee internet protocols. The Internet Corporation for Assigned Names and Numbers, ICANN, they manage the domain names. And separately, you have the IEEE. They handle the Wi-Fi protocols. And the infrastructure is the internet. Okay, the infrastructure, not the thing you type in, just the poles and the towers, all that's the internet. The internet is the infrastructure that allows us to access the World Wide Web. Who owns the World Wide Web? The World Wide Web is owned by the European Organization for Nuclear Research. That's what it's called today, but it was called, when they created this, the Council for European Nuclear Research, which is an acronym for CERN, C-E-R-N, the Council for European Nuclear Research. It was created by a CERN member, Tim Lee Berners-Lee, in 1989. So in 1989, the U.S. government cancels ARPANET. In 1990, they call it Internet. In 1989, this guy all the way in Europe happens to make the World Wide Web. So these two are working together, the U.S. and the Europeans. So what we're seeing today is a changing in the guards. The infrastructure we know as the Internet is being upgraded. It's called 5G now. Okay, and the big towers, the long cables that connected the internet and interneted everything together so it works seamlessly is being replaced with those little square white boxes they're putting everywhere. The World Wide Web, the place where we use the infrastructure, the internet infrastructure to access, is being replaced or upgraded to this thing called the metaverse. So the 5G and the metaverse go together, hand in hand. Metaverse as Dr. X was getting into, meta meaning beyond the after. It could also mean a change, a transition. See, we currently live in the universe. Uni meaning a total or whole. But they're doing a change, a transition. They're going beyond the universe and creating a metaverse. Verses, a metrical language. We write music in verses, scripture in verses, poetry, songs, ballads, stanzas, all that we put in verses. It denotes a length of time. You know, some of the best recorded artists, they say when you put them in a studio and they're singing a song or a verse, their verse, and the producer says, wait up, we need you to make that a 20 seconds slower the next time, and they're able to just do it. You know, they could time their voice. Time and light are synonymous. The metaverse is a synthetic version of time and light. You're going to put these things on over your face that's going to be engaging you with light, you know, in real time. This is going to have a traumatic effect on how we see the world. And it's all about data collection. The World Wide Web was there to collect data, collected data on all of us. It collected our physical data. The metaverse is going to collect our beyond physical data. In a computer world, they call it metadata. Look up metadata. That's what they're going to be doing. Compared to what we have today, the metaverse will be an interactive internet. You're going to interact with it. You're not just going to type and wait for stuff to happen. You're going to engage with it to make it happen. When the web first came out, it was slow. I know you remember this, Bev. You had to access it with a telephone cord connected to a computer modem and then plug it into your phone. And then it would dial into the internet and make all these funny noises. And you could actually hear the connection taking place. And then you would slide a CD into it so you could get on it for free. You had the NetZero 3D CDs, and you had an account with America Online. And it was mostly just all words, very little pictures, no visual effects. You couldn't do texting or anything yet. All you could really do was send emails. Chat rooms were limited and restricted to just sending emails. You know, it was, you would have to send someone an email and then hope they responded, you know, say it real quick, and then you can email them back. It was terrible. It sucked. And that was the first version of the web. That was from 1991 to 2004. That was the version of the web we had. 13 years that lasted. And then in 2004, they replaced it with what we call Web 2.0. And that's what we have now. And that came the same year the iPhone dropped. The Android dropped. 2.0 was the biggest add-on to the 1.0, which was the first version, was it added the internet browser and search engine. I mean, it made everything easier. And you started seeing stuff like Google. And you could just type in words and stuff pops up. You couldn't do that the first version of the internet. You had type something and they'll kind of match it to what you... You know, as it got stronger with the AI, the graphics were finer, the web pages started having more pictures, moving things happening on the page. You know, it was faster. People were advertising to you now. It's totally different than what it first was. It was, and they added things like the social web. They added applications, social media. And now, you know, all the way to now where they added blockchain technology to the Internet 2.0. We call it Bitcoin. You know, that's all part of that version of the Internet. 2.0 also brought us things that linked us together. It allowed us to publish our own content, make your own content, tag others. I mean, it did so much. Signaling, you could receive things in real time, podcasting, blogging, vlogging, curating, bookmarking. All of this is part of that second generation of the internet that we currently are using. The metaverse is Web 3.0, so they're upgrading it again. The first internet, you use the computer. Internet 2.0 was based around a cell phone. Internet 3.0 is going to be based around augmented reality, mixed reality, and virtual reality. And this is going to bring about better blockchain technologies. It's going to bring out more NFTs, cryptocurrencies, DeFi, decentralized finance, peer-to-peer interactions, self-sovereign identities. All of this is going to be part of this new internet. And, you know, this is what we're watching. We're going to watch it grow because like I just said, when we first got the internet, we had to plug our phone out, you know, the wall, plug it into the phone. Now nobody can't call you, no login that way. And then it became better and better. So we're at the very first stage of this. It's going to take some time. It's like an infant. It's going to have to develop and mature. It's not going to be something that we're going to avoid or ignore. It's going to be everywhere, just like the 2.0 was. You know, everyone had to get a smartphone. Not everyone, but I'm just saying, everyone went and got a tablet. Everyone went and got a laptop, started using the Wi-Fi, all part of 2.0. This is going to be the same thing. And the number one place where they're going to make people do this at is going to be your jobs. You're not going to be able to tell your employer, man, I ain't using that. You know what I'm saying? No, they're going to say, hey, sit down. We're going to train you how to do this. This is how you do your job now. You're going to do it. You know, so it's going to happen. It's all about, like I said, collecting metadata, beyond data. It's data about the data. That's really how you could say it. It's going to be providing information about other data that you're using and tying things together that wasn't tied together before. You know, going across the lines of different things that you're searching and linking them together to make a better profile for you or to better understand you, they would say. They want to use this, all this unused data they've collected from us all these years and enter it in there, you know, and see what comes out. So it's all about data. That's where the money is for all these corporations. You want information, you want shop, you want to chat, watch a video, watch a movie, listen to a song, listen to a podcast, check your emails. Anything that you would do on the World Wide Web, you're going to be able to do in the metaverse. It's just that you're going to be more interactive. You want to shop for some clothes on the web, well, you can shop for them in the metaverse. You know, you could choose. So if I go to Macy's.com and I want some jeans, you know, and I'm a tall guy, I'm 6'5", I'm a big guy, I got to go to the big and tall section. So I go men's, then I click big and tall, then I click pants, and then I filter it down to my exact size. You know, in the metaverse, I'm just going to walk into a virtual Macy's and look at the jeans and, you know, buy them that way. I'm going to be saving all those other steps. It's going to be more immersive and interactive. You know, you're not going to go to Macy's.com. You're going to go to the virtual Macy's and buy things. You're not going to go to footlocker.com. You're going to go to the virtual Foot Locker and look at all the sneakers. And you know what I'm saying? It's going to be totally immersive all around you. When you turn left, you're going to see the Nike shelf. You turn right, you're going to see the Adidas shelf. You look forward, you're going to see boots. You know, you look behind you, that's the women's sneakers. It's going to be, you know, all around you. Throughout history, different groups of people decided how the world was going to work. In the 60s, they were the engineers. who created the backbone to all these technologies we use today. And that if that age from the 60s is called the computer age or the computer generation. In the 90s, it was the coders who leveraged those technologies that the engineers built and was able to enter code and write software and stuff that made it work. And those technologies have become mainstream. And different types of that economy is coming mainstream. That's what the metaverse is, just the something they've been working on for years, and it's finally just coming mainstream. When something is fun to do, it doesn't seem like you're really doing it. You know, if work is fun, it doesn't feel like you worked. You know, a person could go to Vegas or Atlantic City, play the slots, blackjack, craps, roulette, poker for hours. You could spend hours playing and not even realize it because you're having a good time. You could be at home with your relatives playing dominoes, Connect Four, spades, pity pat, chess, checkers. Just time just seems to fly because you're doing something that you're thinking and you're engaging with people. And with children and adults plan things to do with children that are generally fun for both of them, so it doesn't seem like they're doing something. You know, it's not a stress on them. You know, let's go somewhere, you know, that we both gonna enjoy to go. You know, a huge amount of people who cross racial, gender, class lines, they all are into doing things that, you know, they enjoy to do. It doesn't matter. Now, in 1983, that was the year that the Nintendo came out. Prior to that, we had the Atari. You know, today you got the PlayStation 5, the Xbox. So if you want to see how fast technology's moved, just look at the video game industry. Look at the difference between the graphics on an Atari in 1983 and the graphics on a PlayStation in 2021. Totally different. I mean, and we thought Nintendo, you know, we're looking at Mario. I mean, he looked, you know, we thought that was the pinnacle back then. And now you look at it, it's like, oh, my God, you know. So everything has become more realistic. And they merged these two things together. All these years, since 1983, people have been playing, gaming has been mainstream and also having fun. So when you merge those two things together, you get what they call gamification. Okay, gamification. Now I'm going to explain gamification and how it relates to the metaverse, because this is how they're going to get us all in there. This is how they're going to make us all addicted to it. This is how they're going to entice us to engage in this virtual world. You know, it's going to have incentives. You have any questions, Beth?
Yeah, somebody in the chat room was saying that this is the new, they're creating a new straw man, and they're saying they're creating a new form of commerce to using the new straw man. And so what you're saying is when we go on the internet, we automatically go into the metaverse. The whole internet is going to be the metaverse.
Yeah, they're going to make it so we're going to look at, would you go back to the first internet? You know what I'm saying? Would you go back to having to plug your phone into the, this is going to be obsolete. You know what I'm saying? This is going to be, you know, I'm not doing that anymore. I'm not going there. I'm going to go here. And, you know, of course, they're going to, you know, entice us to do this. But, yeah, corporations, they took notice of a huge amount of people who game and the gaming tactics that the gaming use to entice people to buy them. in that process of gamification. There are so many people in America who are familiar with gaming. The metaverse will be, you know, nothing to them. You know, it's just going to be another thing they do. I'm going to explain gamification because it's going to be the backbone. This is going to be the foundation of the metaverse, sort of like the internet is the backbone of the World Wide Web, you know. Without this gamification, it won't work. If you had, if you noticed, if you got a banking app, me, I bank at Bank of America. I got a little Bank of America app. You would realize they started offering all these. First, they started making the apps real nice, you know, colorful. It looks like you're going to play a game or something. And then when you get into the app, you know, you got the button, you know, you could press rewards. You get reward points, credits. They do real-time tracking. They offer all these things right in the app. You know, you could send people money. They got the little Zelle logo, and, you know, it's all really done. That's all a part of gamification. To make it like a game, you know, I'm looking at it now like, oh, okay, if I shop here, I get points. Okay, why am I shopping here if I could just shop here? You know, so I stopped shopping there, and I stopped going to the Wayne Reed and started going to CVS because when I swipe my card in CVS, I earn points, you know. It starts making you do things you normally wouldn't do, but I'm playing the game. I'm trying to get some points, you know, not even thinking. And, you know, that's a gamification. And my health care and my health insurance, it has an app, very colorful, like a video game too. I get reward points in the form of cash or gift cards for going to a nutritionist, for joining a gym, for hiring a personal trainer, for using their health tracking app. I get points and rewards for going to get my physical. You know, things that, you know, that they're pretty much making me use, you know, the insurance, you know, like, but they I get points. You know, I get a $50 Amazon card for this. I get a, you know, $100, you know, card to here. You know, so it's all about, that's all gamification. It's giving you incentive to play the game. One of the most successful gamification. One of the most successful gamification programs ever. And we all participated in this. And this is before the internet. It was the Monopoly game at McDonald's. You match the street names to win prizes. You could get some nuggets, free fries, you know, a medium soft drink, apple pie, you know. But you here you are at McDonald's, you know, peeling off these, you know, points, playing the game. And they would make a killing, you know what I'm saying, off of that. Because 90% of the people, they're just going to give you French fries, you know, which don't cost them nothing. Or a drink, you know, they pour that out all day, you know, and you're not going to get no Big Mac, but, you know, 1 out of 10 times, you know. So cost them nothing to get people to come in just to play the game. You know, we go in there just to peel. Let me get a soda so I can see if I win something, you know, just to play the game. M&M's had the blue M&M challenge. With the they put a blue M&M in like 1 out of 1 million bags of M&Ms, and people were going to buy them. Yeah, people painting their M&M blue, claiming they won it. You know, it was crazy. But yeah, Pepsi used to have the twist off the cap, and it was a number on the bottom of the cap. I don't know if y'all remember that, and you could win prizes and things. But all of that is gamification. Once again,
I just had an experience with my credit card, and it kept saying, you got points accumulated, use your points. I kept ignoring it, and then one day I bought something and it popped up on that page, like, if you use your points, it'll take off $10. Then I used it. So you saying that was gamification that was going on right there?
Absolutely. Have you been looking at your points since? Okay. Have you been looking at them?
I did go and check and see. Yeah, you're right. I did. One time after that, I checked. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah. You know, what happens when you're in the metaverse, you just want to get some shoes. You go to the shoe rack at Nordstrom's, and they say, hey, man, if you come to the shoe rack at DSL, every 100th person wins a free pair of shoes. You're going to be leaving Nordstrom's, going to DSL, see if you're the 100th person. You know, it's just an enticement, and that's how they're going to do it. That's how they're going to get us. Gamification, the definition, is the process of applying game design elements into non-gaming environments. Okay? Like my online banking example, like the health example, like the one you just used. Even with the health example, like if I shop at Whole Foods, I get certain points. You know, I got to scan the receipts because I'm showing I'm eating healthy. Like all of this part of my health care. So let's do some math. By the mid-60s, we started the computer age. It was a decade old, but, you know, that's when it really kicked off, and it moved slowly to where we are right now. That's Generation X, Y, and Z all together. So we've all been born in this computer age, okay? Everyone born between the years of 1965 and 2012, all born in the computer age. That totals to 220 million people out of the 330 million people in America. So all these people are computer savvy. We all got a cell phone, a smartphone. It's not going to be nothing for us just to change our habit to something new. It's not going to be spooky. You know, I don't want people to think this is going to be the devil, you know. We got 7 billion people in the world today. 6 billion of the 7 billion people in the world have a smartphone or a laptop. You got more people that access the internet than people have access to healthcare in this world. The gaming industry is one of those industries that has kept growing year after year, unlike any other industry that's ever existed. From the time it started to right now, every year, the increase. The gaming industry, the companies, they have massive engagement with their consumers. Every year, a new game comes out. They change this. They change that. They made it a little bit better than last time. They took your advice. You said, oh, this part sucked. You wrote them a letter. They took that part out, changed it, made it a little better. They engage with their people. Companies pay trillions of dollars collectively every year to advertise. The gaming space is going to be a huge place to advertise at and engage with customers. That's the number one thing that companies want to do in the future is engagement. Engagement replaces attention. We're in the attention internet now. That's the old internet. The new internet is going to be engagement. It's not going to be how many people follow you or like your videos. No, it's going to be much more than that. I'll explain a little bit more. But games are naturally designed for engagement. In order to get someone to sit there in front of a television and play a game for hours, that means that by default, you're engaged in that game. You're thinking about what you're going to do next. It's rewarding. It's encouraging. It keeps you in the loop. It gives you a sense of accomplishment when you complete things in the game. You know, when you get to the next level, you jump up, give yourself a high five, you know. You know, you need to make another turn. You need to go right. You need to go left. You're constantly thinking. You know, so this is the perfect thing for the metaverse, these companies have realized, is let's make it like a big video game and give people games to play in it so that keeps their engagement up. And this is why I'm saying everyone's going to be a part of this. It's going to be the new lottery. You're going to go on here and you hit the lottery sometimes and get paid. I mean, they're going to be giving it away at first. All industries, all corporations have whole departments that spend time and money to increase engagement just a little bit, just a teeny bit. They hire sales teams, they do advertising, all of that to get more engagement. What's going to be easier than this? This is going to be perfect for them, you know? There's going to be, let's just give you the example. Travis Scott, Dr. X did this example. He did a virtual concept on a game called Fortnite. It's a fighting game. 27 million people of all ages, races, religions went and watched this dude perform at this concert. I'm not talking about the one where everybody died. This was in the gaming world. This was in the metaverse called Fortnite. Okay? That's engagement. If you could get 27 million people to engage with you in that, to sit there and actually create an avatar of themselves, put on the clothes they want to put on, go to this virtual concert where they're not going to really see you. They're just going to see a virtual image of you, and they're going to sit there and dance for hours while he does his songs. 27 million people. You understand? That's engagement. That's more powerful than having 27 million followers. Imagine if you could sell something to those people while you're there, while they're there. You know what I'm saying? If that's what the advertisers are looking at, like, man, okay, you know, you could fit 27 million people in one space, even though they're not really there. It's just their virtual caricature of themselves, but they're there. We could sell them some Pepsi. We could sell them some Coke. We could sell them some Pizza Hut. We could sell them some Domino's. I mean, this is the perfect place. This is it. So that's how they're thinking. 27 million people watched this dude perform. I can't believe it, but, you know, Nike launched their app. They used a lot of gamification in it. They got badges, points, progression system. Runners could track the progress, earn showcase rewards that they could use in real Nike stores. Now Nike can tokenize their rewards. You could earn real world use in the metaverse. They tokenized them in the metaverse. You know, let's just say, I'll give you an example, like, let's just say you receive 5 tokens every time you run 200 miles. It's tracking you on your app, on your watch. They know you just ran 200 miles. You get 5 tokens every time you do that. You know what I'm saying? Now you go to the Nike store with your tokens, and you're able to purchase a pair of sneakers that when they first come out. You know, like, it's incentive to go and use their product, so you're running in their sneakers, you got using their app, and, you know, you're earning points to go and purchase more of their products. It's a perfect, you know, eight ball effect right there. It's just, it's infinity, you know. Not only are you using their product, but while you're running in their sneakers, you're messing those sneakers up. You're earning points, though, for your next pair. You know, which is going to be another pair of their sneakers. It's going to keep you in their product, you know, which is what they want. Also, let's just say Nike's starting to make their sneakers into NFTs. Anytime you hear the word NFT, you know, that's about the metaverse. Those are things that really exist in the real world that you're able to make a virtual copy of and have it in the metaverse. Okay, so now Nike is making their old Jordans, their sneakers, into NFTs. So now when you go into the metaverse, you could go and purchase, with real money, you got to purchase their virtual sneakers for your virtual character. Understand, this is more money. They didn't even expect this money to be coming in. You know, they used to selling physical sneakers. Now they could just sell pictures of sneakers. You know what I'm saying? And people are going to be with it. So this is where we're at right now. And this is just going to keep growing and growing You know, imagine people in the real world running, biking, hiking, jogging, you know, trying to get earned tokens just so they can, you know, get something. They're essentially mining coins. They're using your energy to mine coins for them. You understand what I'm saying? Like, this is like, this is the blockchain, everything in one, this metaverse. Now, they had an episode of Black Mirror where the people had to ride these bikes and jog on the treadmill, and, you know, every step they earned a point, you know, and this is what they'd actually put this in real life. And now I'm sure Adidas is going to do it, Under Armour and Fitbit, which is Amazon. They're all going to do the same thing, man. And it's all going to play out. You're going to be doing stuff in the physical world for rewards in an illusionary world, in a meta world. You understand? But you're really exuding your actual energy in the real world. It's if you would have told someone this was going to happen 10 years ago, like I was, they were saying I was crazy. That's like, yo, they going to do this, man. Trust me, man. Trust, yo, and look at it. They going to get it. That's how the metaverse will work, combining real world and virtual world together using gamification. In the metaverse, gamification, blockchain combines, creates engagement, monetized for everyone. Everyone's going to get money from doing these things. You're going to make more money in the meta world than you will in the real world. The problem you're going to have is, can you take that money from the meta world and make it into real money? That's going to be, because they'll take your real money and convert it into some meta money, but can you get them to convert that meta money into some real money? And that's the big, you know, thing. And that's going to, I got some articles on that. That's the security problem, because, of course, you know, the governments don't want to hear that. Dollar don't have no competition. Yeah, okay. We'll see. How they going to stop it? You know, how they going to stop? I done ran 200 miles. You're going to tell me I can't use this? You out of your mind. You know what I'm saying? It's going to be the biggest thing ever. I'm telling you. Mark my word. This will move to every sector of society. Now think of schooling. This is one of the hugest places this is going to be in the classrooms. They got the app Duolingo. You get rewards. They call them, I think, Lingo coins or Dual coins. When you successfully complete, they're little games that really teaching you another language. So once you've mastered that little game and now you got those little five words mastered, you earn points to open up another game. You get some harder words. And before you know it, you done learned another language, but they made it a game. And this is how they're going to teach kids in the classrooms. It's not going to be school like you're sitting around reading books. And no, it's all going to be virtual, and it's going to be incentives for learning your multiplications and your timetables and your you know, all that adding and subtracting, you know, doing your homework on time and all that gonna come with incentives. The financial
so was
industry,
part of
mm-hmm.
was part of right, the shutdown. Was that part of getting people into this meta vision where children had to do homework on the internet? A lot of people were on the internet that wasn't on there before because they was working. So was that kind of a way to get you into the meta? I want to keep calling it meta vision.
Metaverse.
You know,
yeah,
getting you verse. Yeah.
Absolutely. In fact, I'm starting to look at it now. Like this whole thing might have been a conspiracy to get us there.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Especially
yeah.
with Dr. X saying that the vaccines connect you to the internet. You know, everyone mm-hmm. has to be connected. That's the whole point of this, right? Imagine seeing homeless people in a park with virtual reality glasses on, thinking that they in a house. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
When they put them glasses on, they in the house. You know what I'm saying? But when they take mm-hmm. them off, they in the park.
you know, just think of that. But yeah, for sure, the pandemic, a lot of things that I think was a test run. Look at the things that boomed out of it. Zoom. Zoom just blew up out of nowhere. Became like the number one thing in the world. Everyone needed it to work, to go to school, to do everything. Companies like the company I work for, they use Microsoft Teams. And I'm going to get into some of that. Microsoft Teams is their Microsoft's metaverse, okay? And they put on their headsets, and what it does is it puts them all into a fancy office room, right, when they put their headsets on. So they got their little characters that look like them, little cartoon-looking characters and stuff, and they all sitting around the board table, and they got their headsets on. So they're having the same meeting they would have in a Zoom meeting. Only thing, they're looking at a virtual version of each other. But they're in the same room. One could get up and do his presentation, and he pulls out. You just see them moving their hands around, and he's pulling up PowerPoints and things all in that virtual space, and only they can see. You know, I can't see what they're doing. I'm just seeing him moving his hands around looking crazy. You know what I'm saying? But that they've been using that. Now, me, I'm facilities. I don't do that type of stuff. So they're not giving me $3,500 headsets. But, you know, they give me a phone to walk around with. But, you know, yeah. So, like I said, this is going to be unavoidable, just like the internet was. You was using a typewriter one day at work, and the next day they came in with the computer, like, hey, here you go. You know, and what's that? Oh, man, they got this thing called Word. Let me show you how it works. Okay, big bang, that's your new job. And they walked away from you, and you've been using it ever since. You know what I'm saying? Because they're going to put it in a way where you have no choice. This is how you're going to do your work. Companies are going to make more money selling people fake shit than real shit. I mean, let's be realistic. You're going to make more money selling them fakes because there's no overhead for it. It didn't cost you nothing to make it. You're not shipping it. You just made us you just took a pair of your Jordans, had someone draw it, and made it so they could go on Avatar's feed. And people going to pay for them. If they pay a dollar for them, you're going to make a kill. I mean, it don't matter how much you charge. That's money you wasn't expecting to come in last year. You know what I'm saying? So it's
right.
Yes, everything is going to go there. The gamification is going to be the backbone of it. That's really what I wanted to convey in that little part I was doing there. Is that? Go ahead.
So you're saying for those people that are investors, you know, this would be something good to invest in too, right?
Absolutely, and. Okay. The key to this is it doesn't – it's there, but it's not there. It's such a baby right now. So the companies to invest in, we don't even know them yet. You know what I'm saying? Like, you never thought of Google. Who would have thought Google and Amazon and would be the biggest companies in the world? Like, they just popped up on the scene one day. You know, they was just part of the internet. Like, they just came up with my phone. Oh, what's this? It's called Amazon. Oh, I could buy stuff there, you know, and then all of a sudden it's the biggest company in the world. So what happens in business, a lot of the old companies, they have a hard time changing their business models to something new. And you're seeing this in the automobile industry right now. General Motors, Ford, and Chrysler, they're used to making cars. Everyone in the world is moving to electric vehicles, but they make their money selling cars. For them to tell their board members, listen, we got to stop making these cars and start investing money and making that, it's not going to happen. So they're way behind, and China's about to come in and clean their clock. You're not going to see a General Motors or Ford in about 5 years. It's going to be all Chinese cars and Teslas because they're electric, and that's what the market wants. And for them to make one decision at a big corporation where they've been moving in one direction and they're making huge profits going in one direction, that they have to stop what they're doing, they're not going to do that. So the new companies that gear themselves strictly to this metaverse vision, they don't have none of the baggage from the old system. They don't have nothing to lose. So they're going to clean some of these older companies' clocks. That's why I think Facebook said, hell no, we all in. We're going to even call ourselves Meta. We're not going to lose. We're not, because once this comes out, no one's going on Facebook. No one's going on Instagram. They're going to go there, you know, so we got to be there. And that's what we're seeing. So I think it's going to take some research, because I'm finding new companies every day. Never heard of these companies. Like, who the hell is this? They selling. I got some art. They selling actual real estate in the metaverse. These companies you never heard of. You know, so these companies, I'm like, they own the metaverse. They own real estate. So they went and purchased huge plots of land, and they got like a fashion street in the metaverse that they created. And they buy up all the land, and they want to sell the land to Louis Vuitton and Gucci. And so they buying up parts of the metaverse because they know that the corporations are going to have to come purchase it back from them. You know, if you want to be here, you're going to come buy it from me. And it's sort of like how GoDaddy.com, they got all the domain names. You got to go to them to get a domain name, you know. It's going to be like that. So that's what I'm saying. This is totally different than the World Wide Web. It's something totally different. It's going to have its own. Each one of these little verses is going to be like a web page, like how we go to one site to the next site to the next site. You know, you're going to go to one world to the next world to the next world. But it's you know, yeah.
So this could be the next Amazon, you know, for investors that's looking for something to invest in. This is the ground floor here. Mm-hmm.
Yes, I got a feeling it's going to be in the next 5 years, and we're going to see some names of companies that we never saw before, and 5 years later, we're going to be like, damn, look how big that company got that fast, you know, because of this.
Right.
You know, so as I find them, I will be letting you know. I got a couple of names in my articles, but I didn't even get to the articles yet. But that was all I wanted to say about the gamification. I just wanted to show people how they're going to get us all there. Because a lot of people was like, man, I ain't going there, man. I'm scared of that. All right, think you're not going there. You know what I'm saying? It's going to be incentives to go there. They're going to give you stuff, you know, and it's going to be the job is going to make you go there because they definitely switching over. So it's no way to avoid it. I got this article. I want people to look these articles up. Did you have questions in the audience or anything yet, Bev?
I mean, we got hands that's raised, you know, but we have time. And
okay.
There's someone that's in the chat room, and they are saying here that I was trying to see what did they say. They was the vice president. I don't know. Did they say it was a bank or something here? But they, no, not that kind
joking.
Of a vice president of a company. And they were saying that what you're saying is right on because, you know, this is what they're doing. And they focusing on the young people and the young people to train the older people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yep. And I got a feeling that the older people, they're not going to have any problems because, like I said, we all born in this computer age for the most part. We ain't no suckers when it come down to figuring out a computer. You know, we got a smartphone.
Right.
People are jumping on apps. It's not like, you know, your grandmother when you got the, you know, the digital clock. She didn't know how to set it. Now, none of us are like that. We all can set the clock today. You know what I'm saying? So it's going to be on everyone's face.
And they also said, they also were saying that the Mega logo, it looks like an Xbox controller.
Wow. Well, you know, it wouldn't surprise, because it's a game. It's all going to be about gamification.
Mm-hmm.
And I got articles that's gonna in here that's going to show that Microsoft is so far ahead of Facebook with this. They're not competing with our Microsoft right now. They just doing the advertising, you know. They're the ones we're seeing, but Microsoft is clearly ahead of them. It's not even close. It's not even close, you know what I'm saying? But I want people to look at this article, because this is showing you the type of artwork they're going to use in the metaverse. This is how it's going to look at its inception. And I want people to think again. I just mentioned it. When you go to Nintendo in 1983, when it came out, it was so much better looking than the Atari. I mean, we thought it was real. Like, oh, look at this. Oh, man. You know, and then look at a game today. So this is going to get better. But look up this article. It's called The Metaverse is Simply Big Tech But Better. And it's from Wired. Wired is the name of the site. And it's showing you the artwork. And this artwork is a clear, this is how they're building the metaverse, or using this type of art. It's real boxy. It's not going to be looking like John Madden football at start. You know, it's not looking that great.
Mm-hmm.
But I just want people to see how it's going to look. It looks like the game,
but it looks like
art.
Can you read that article title again?
Yes, it's from Wired. It's The Metaverse.
Mm-hmm.
It's simply Big Tech But Better. The Metaverse is simply Big Tech But Better. But bigger. I'm sorry, but bigger. Big Tech But Bigger. I'm sorry about that.
Okay. All right.
And one day we're going to look at this and laugh. Like, yo, that's how it looked when we first had it. You know, it's going to look so realistic. It's going to get better and better and better. But, yeah, that's how it's going to start out looking. Got another article here. This article is called We Read Through 3 Years of Nike Patents and Found the Sportswear Giant Has Detailed Plans for Its Metaverse Play. We read through 3 years of Nike patents and found the sportswear giant has detailed plans for its metaverse play. And we know black people, we love Nikes, you know. Just read a little bit of this. Nike is among the brands working to establish a foothold in the metaverse. The company's recent patents include plans for everything from avatars to crypto kicks. Crypto kicks. What the hell are those? I got to see them one day. But Sportswear Giant has established metaverse studios and is hiring workers with relevant skills. Insiders review the patents filing dating back to 2018. So they've been working on this for 3 years. That Nike plans to go beyond simply peddling digital products. The company has laid out intellectual property foundation for virtual world, complete with avatars and new ways to exchange Nike goods. Now it turns attention into implementing that vision. So they're not just creating they're creating their own metaverse. And when you go to when you go to play the basketball games on the PlayStation now, you don't just go and play, you know, I'm going to play the Knicks versus the Pistons. It ain't going to be like that. You got to start out as a rookie. You get to pick out your clothes, you get your hair cut, and you go to school, and you're working on your game, and you get to date girls. It's like, yo, this is – so they done created it in a way where it looks really like you're the – give you the impression that you just got really drafted, and, you know, you're going through the ropes of making it in the NBA. Now, I'm imagining Nike's going to do something similar to that. It says Nike's patent suggests the world of intelligent electronic shoes, digital sneakers, virtual jobs, and Nike out avatars. In August, Nike got a patent for an avatar social networking service. The patent describes avatar connected to a user's athletic performance. For example, upon a user completing their first workout, a new shirt and a new pair of shoes will be unlocked for their avatar. A similar patent in February describes rewarding users for achieving athletic goals. The higher goal, the more Nike gear will be available. And the user could order Nike merchandise customized for their avatar. Not for you, for your avatar. You understand what I'm saying? You doing stuff in the real world for an avatar. I don't even have a dog because I ain't doing nothing. Like you, I don't know, man. But, another article here. The metaverse is already here. It will give cryptocurrencies the opportunity to make it better. Sorry, it's kind of cut off there. The metaverse is already here and will give cryptocurrencies the opportunity to make it better, a Solana co-founder says. Solana is a huge banking group. And this article here, this is the one I was telling you about. The metaverse will give cryptocurrencies a chance to wipe out the broken business models like the internet ad platforms. Okay? Many high-profile investors believe that the metaverse could become a trillion-dollar opportunity. Now, I just want everyone to keep in mind the internet is worth $2 trillion, U.S. dollars, the United States internet. The metaverse is slated to be worth $8 trillion in 10 years, four times bigger than the internet. So just to give people a thing for how much focus they're going to be putting in that. You're telling these people they got $8 trillion they got to compete for, they're going to compete. It says the metaverse is booming in popularities. Investors are snapping up plots of virtual land and digital luxury items while companies and sport teams are piling in too. Last week, four metaverse projects sold for $106 million in virtual land, according to Dapp Radar. Sandbox, now this is one of those companies that I never heard of before, Beth. Sandbox, a gaming platform, backed up $86.5 million in digital land sales, while Decentraland recorded $15.53 million in virtual real estate. I said, what? They're making that kind of money? And this don't even exist yet. I'm just saying, it's all types of opportunities I see here. I got to see what it looks like, though. I got to, finagle it. But, it's some bad opportunities, too, from what I'm reading. But,
right.
I mean, you got to look at the upside. This article, my favorite website, IEEE Spectrum, why the metaverse needs to be open, making virtual worlds as interconnected as the internet will be tough. Making virtual worlds as interconnected as the internet will be tough. Okay, and this is a Q&A. He has one of the inventors of the metaverse, and he's asking questions. And I just focus on what is the metaverse, he asks. And this guy, Mark Pettis, said, it's a hard question for me. It's the evolution of the internet as the fabric of our personal and professional lives. With the internet right now, you keep scrolling through videos. We believe the metaverse will bring in the era of interactive content where you'll have the agency over the content and you can control it. If you can interact with it, you can ultimately immerse yourself into the content, not just look at it through a small window. The foundation in real-time 3D media is what the metaverse is. So I was watching a Netflix show, and during the show, it stopped and it asked me questions. Do you want the guy to do this or do you want him to do that? So I clicked, I wanted him to do that. And then they did it and went a little further and, okay, what should he do now? So I'm deciding. So I did that. So I watched it again, and I did the opposite. So they actually did two different shows. Like, they shot two different scenes. One if he did this, one if he did that. But I'm interacting with it. I'm controlling what's happening next. Like, I don't know what's happening next, but I'm controlling the next move he makes. And it was, so this is kind of what I'm thinking. That's one of the precursors to this, is showing how they got us trying to interact with stuff now. But yeah, this is what I'm getting from this. It's going to be total interactiveness. It's constantly going to have us thinking. Now, Dr. X was touching on this, and this article is called From Brain-Computer Interfaces to Digital Humans, How These Technologies Are Bringing Us Closer to a Metaverse. And he was talking about Elon Musk and the Novo Link. Well, this company, another company, never heard of it, but I'm going to look into it because this one's going to be huge. Brain-computer interfaces systems like Neurable, this company called Neurable, N-E-U-R-A-B-L-E, VR game Awakening. So they got a game called Awakening out right now. Uses an electric-laden headband connected to a HTC Vive VR set to track your brain activity while you're playing the game. The software analyzes data to figure out what should be happening in the game, what shouldn't be happening in the game, what you like in the game, what you don't like in the game. In 2017, the MIT Technology Review wrote that only one year later, this technology could be mainstream and picked up by VR arcade companies. It's like putting a VR set on your head, and then it has another being that goes from the back of your head over to the front where your forehead is. And that's tracking your brain activity while you're playing the game, and you're able to actually do things just thinking about it, as opposed to actually moving and doing things. So that's one of the technologies they're working on to make this metaverse better. The other one is called Haptics, H-A-P-T-I-C. Okay, moving from the mind to the body. The Tesla suit is a non-intrusive system centered around a suit material from electroactive polymer to record electrical signals generated by players' muscles to animate avatars in the VR. So they got these suits. They got one thing tracking your brain. Another thing, while you're playing these games, they want to put you in these suits. Look at Get Ready Player One. He was getting all these accessories to play the game better. Better gloves, better suit, you know. So they got AR lenses. Just as we see through minimized haptic products, AR headsets are coming also, the next generation counterpart to enter the consumer market space. So are AR contact lenses. These include Inwith Corporation. So the name of the corporation, another company here, Inwith Corporation, blinking powered contact lenses. Another company, Mojo Vision, also is making these contact lenses, and they got a $58 million Series B investment to go ahead with that project. These companies are going to be huge. Okay, forget about the glasses, putting these big-ass glasses on your face. They're going to put it in a contact lens. You just put it on your eye. You don't even got to deal with the glasses. So they got this one, eye tracking. Eye tracking has been potential to expose the individual's intrinsic characteristics, such as race, age, gender, sexual preferences, as well as revealing sensitive health characteristics, such as whether they have autism or disorders like anxiety or depression. Okay? So he said, we have very little control over our eyes, and providing us unfettered access to that data will give us a lot of treatment information for first-class citizens, they said. So what this is pretty much saying is that when you put these AR headsets on, They're going to be tracking your eyes, constantly looking at what you're looking at. If you're scared and you make a scared face, they're going to be able to say, okay, you're scared right now. So they're learning from that, and they know, okay, that makes you scared. So they can now know how to make you scared or how to make you cry. So all your emotions, they can tell by looking in our eyes just what we're going to do, what emotion we're exuding at the moment this happened in the game or in the metaverse. When that happened or we felt that way, they're trying to get that, like I said earlier, they're trying to get the metadata on us. They already know our habits, our likes, our dislikes, all that stuff. We gave them all that with social media. Now they want to know our inner workings. Next thing that this is coming with is called digital humans. And this goes to what the person in the chat room was talking about, Bev, about the digital straw man. As we stroll confidently through the pixelated, glassy fields, feeling, seeing, hearing, and interacting with environments as if they were real, we are to begin an encounter more advanced NPCs, which are bots that could either be human or machine. In January 2020, Soul Machines, another company, Soul Machines, S-O-U-L Machines, sound black, but I know it ain't. Announced it had raised $40 million toward an AI-powered customer-facing digital avatar technology described on their site as digital brain that provides digital humans with the ability, sense, to learn and adapt. So they're creating, just like, you know, the straw, it's a fake version of you. They could create a fake version of you. They call them digital humans. And this person is going to be helping you navigate around the metaverse. You know, he's going to be like your guy. You just pop out. Yo, I need help. Yo, whoop, hey. You know, like the, well, I forget that show every time. Either way. Lastly, they got this part called Synthesia, data and dopamine. And as we know, every time you get a like, a dislike, and all that stuff from Amazon or on Facebook or whatever, you get a dopamine release. Okay? They're saying that this is Synthesia is the ability to for our senses to be rerouted via neuroplasticity, aka the brain ability to change and adapt as a result of new situations. This means that we can feel through sound, hear through touch, and see through our taste. Our senses are a fascinating playground for experiences to inform our sense of reality. Even if we don't use all of the above technologies concurrently, there are endless possibilities on the perception that can be altered or enhanced. As we move toward a much more personalized online experience, a sensory and immersive technology, we will soon be able to achieve the most incredible human experiences while we move as largely desensitized in the consumption of media today. Multi-sensory, immersed technology will forever change the way we measure the success of online campaigns and engage in the digital world. As global movements begin experimenting more heavily with online worlds, virtual meetups, we are beginning to see the groundwork for what the next era of digital humans will be. It will be ourselves. So the goal of this is to make us digital, more digitally human, you know, make us stay in this digital world more than we're in the real world, to make us the digital world more enjoyable, a better experience than the experience we have in the real world, and to keep us there. And once again, the name of that article, and this was showing you all these different technologies that are being made to enhance the metaverse. Says from brain computer interfaces to digital humans, how these technologies are bringing us closer to the metaverse. And I'll go through a few more of these. Now I'll skip that one. I had this one's good. I won't read any of it, but people need to read this one because we always told that, you know, China and the U.S., they ain't together on this. Says China is eyeing the metaverse as the next internet battleground. Did y'all know that China got these digital cafes everywhere? The people already are going and putting these virtual headsets on and sitting around eating noodles and stuff. Like, they way ahead of us on this.
Wow.
Way ahead of us.
I heard about it.
China feels as though the U.S. is incompetent, and they should be the police of the metal world, not the United States.
Mm.
And they're threatening. Yeah, this is where they're going with it. These last few articles, they all deal with the policing of the internet. This one's called, Who is Going to Police the Metaverse? Who is going to police the metaverse? I already told everyone, I think it's called Space Force, Cyberspace Force. This is an expert on this. His name's Professor Reed. He says, people have been talking about how the rise of artificial intelligence has significantly changed society and everything we do. And that's true, but the metaverse is at least as big, if not bigger, than the rise of AI. Because if you think about it, the way it works, the metaverse ultimate aim is not virtual reality or augmented reality. It's mixed reality. It's the blending of digital and the real world together. Ultimately, this blend may sound good or so persuasive, but the virtual and the real becoming indistinguishable is the goal. And the market is gigantic. Now, just to give y'all a little, I saw this video, and it was using Apple's augmented reality, and they don't have a headset yet. But what they're doing is, let's just say you go into your living room, and, you know, you got everything that's normally in your living room, but when you hold your Apple phone up and you hold that up and you look around your living room looking into your phone, oh, you got all different types of stuff in there that you didn't have when you just using your naked eye. And they pay for these things. I mean, so, yeah, it's going to blend the real world with that digital world. Not just putting us in the metaverse, being able to pull the metaverse into the real world using, like, that. That's kind of how Apple's approaching it. They want to put the metaverse in the real world, whereas Facebook's approach is put the real world into the meta world. So it's two different prototypes. Many current MR prototypes, mixed reality prototypes, systems have face, eye, body, and hand tracking, but the most sophisticated cameras. Some even incorporate electrocardiogram, EGG technology, in order to pick up brainwaves and patterns. So this is talking about more along the lines, I'll leave this one alone. This is talking more about the lines of what I was talking about before with that company that had the reading the brainwaves. Any questions, Beth?
When you get finished, we'll open the lines up. And we do have some hands today. So when you get finished with your article.
Absolutely. The metaverse will need its own Interpol to police payments crossing between the virtual and real world. the more we learn about the metaverse plans for major players like Fortnite and Meta, the more it seems the anti-money laundering and know your customer, KYC, protections will be important as they are in the real world, if not more. In a space populated by virtual businesses selling virtual goods to avatars, they will need purchases for virtual. They will need policing for virtual money. Now, what it got me thinking is, what if you in the metaverse and you got your avatar and somebody snatched his chain? You know what I'm saying? Somebody snatched my chain in the metaverse. Like, oh, shit, this dude just snatched my chain. Do I go fill out a virtual police report? Like, how does that work? You know what I'm saying? So it just has me thinking, you know, like, you know, they're actually thinking people going to get involved. You know what I'm saying? This is just pretty much, get this article. It's the metaverse. It's a long article. It'll need its own Interpol police payment crossing between virtual and real worlds. Now that's pretty much all the articles I had, Bev. This one's great. This is actually a patent. And an Apple patent surfacing today covers the ways of erasing avatars that are behaving unacceptably in the metaverse. An Apple patent surfacing today covers ways of erasing avatars that are behaving unacceptably in the metaverse. So they got a picture of a person in the metaverse in someone else's space drawing graffiti on their wall. And I guess they're showing that this person can get erased because they're, breaking the law. But once again, this is a patent. It's a bunch of patent jargon. They can erase your, forget about, getting your Facebook lost for a couple of days or so. They'll just erase you, and it's a episode of Black Mirror where the guy gets erased. He gets erased in the real world, though, but it's an overlay. Everyone has one of these augmented reality glasses there, so no one sees him. He's walking past them. They just see a cutout of what a person would look like. So they just know to move out that thing's way, but they'll never see his face. It could be his mother. You can't see or hear him. That's his punishment. But that happened in the real world, not in the meta world. Y'all need to check out that show. And I did this on Dr. X show about the jurisdiction problems, how they want to change jurisdiction. The last episode I have, why Microsoft may beat Zuckerberg to the metaverse. And once again, Microsoft been doing this much longer, much better at it. When comparing Meta, formerly Facebook, and Microsoft's approach to the metaverse, it's clear Microsoft has a much better grounded and realistic vision. Although Meta currently leads the provision of virtual reality devices through its ownership of what was previously called Oculus, Microsoft is adapting technologies that are currently more widely used. Microsoft seems to have understood better than Meta how people actually use technology. All you need to use is a mesh. Microsoft calls it mesh, the gateway to the metaverse. It's currently your laptop or smartphone. No clunky headsets, no expensive tech setups are needed. With this approach, Microsoft is keeping its focus on available capabilities and enterprise applications over Meta vision of total lifestyle adoption. Microsoft Teams currently has over 145 million daily active users. And that's that headset I was telling you about they use at my job. Whereas Meta only has 17 million users. So Microsoft way in the lead, although their advantage comes because they got people doing it to work, not to just go home and chill, but, you got to do it. You're at work, You can't say no, So, that's my last article, Beth.
Okay. Well, if you have a question or a comment, you can call in to 323-642-1586, 323-642-1586, and push number 1, and I'll see your hand raised here. Okay, so let's see who we have going on here. 719-439.
Hey, what's up, Auntie Beth? What's up, Thomas?
Good. Better love. Okay.
yeah.
LA, what's good, brother?
Oh, what's good, man? Just calling in, checking and listening to what you're talking about. Sound like you're right on point with a lot of that stuff. I did want to say when you was talking about the stuff with Nike and them coming into the metaverse and stuff, I'm invested in a particular NFT token. where actually you was talking about sand, but I'm invested in Decentraland. In Decentraland, you buy these parcels, and if you thinking about it the right way, let's say you just decide to buy a flat piece of land because your idea is to let other people in the future come and buy advertisement spots on your land by putting up advertising signs and stuff. So now when I'm in the metaverse, as you were saying, I'm able to see Nike being advertised on my land on a billboard, and every time Nike is paying me for this as well. But every time a transaction goes through, let's say you got this token attached to something, or you got this metaverse attached to a token, let's say you created your own. Every time somebody comes through and purchase or do something within or interact with that land, you get paid for that. So if you had a club like Atari does, Atari has the casino in there. If you go to a casino in the metaverse, you actually have to use Atari tokens for Las Vegas gambling, if that's what you're going to use, okay? This stuff is attached to real-world bank accounts. You start bidding and betting and stuff, before you can even start betting, you got to put in the proper information. So, therefore, if you lose, it ain't like you can just run away from the game. They got the information that they need. So a lot of this stuff is definitely going to be attached to real-world things that are going to be brought into titleship onto the blockchain. That's what it's really going to do. There are a lot of people, like homes, I heard you mentioning real estate. That right now you can buy into a token called Realty Token, and you can buy a property out of Detroit for a fraction. Right now I think the token is $50 a token, you know, and this will guarantee, I think it's like 13% divided amongst however many investors. So basically you become a fractionalized token landlord. So it's a lot of big business going on inside this stuff, bro. So just wanted to say, hey, man, it was a good show, and step in and say hey to the family. So.
Well, thank you for that, L.A., and you can just mute yourself because we'll do a round table if you, you know, want to chime in.
I had a question for you, L.A. Where do you see the music industry going with this?
Well, I'm doing it right now. It's going to be the best thing ever happened for musicians if, you know, they're approaching it correctly. Because one thing we're able to do is set up those smart contracts that you've talked about before. You can set these smart contracts up. Now, check this out. Let's say I decide to make a collection of NFTs, and I give you, like he was pointing out, a reward system for coming back spending with me more. So let's say I have a reward system that says you buy four NFTs. You buy three NFTs, and we'll give you the fourth for free. But also, when you get these four NFTs, it unlocks a treasure trove of other things that are hidden by the NFT. So basically the NFTs, they can act like Legos. Each piece can have its own money in it, its own events going on inside of it. So it doesn't even have to share the same ecosystem as one NFT. It can connect to it like a Lego piece, and all that information from each piece is now transmitted back and forth to each other, so now the two pieces become one, and they can make up a bigger picture. So now you can have like VIP concerts, like you said about Travis Scott. Buy all five of these songs, and the fifth one creates like a Voltron effect, and you're in for the VIP after the concert.
Okay. All right.
It's pretty hot stuff. Yes, ma'am.
I'll
mute myself.
Thank you, bro. All right. Thank you. Thank you, LA. All right. Let's go to 424-248. 424-248.
Greetings. Peace.
Greetings.
This is Brother Tariq out here in LA. Checking in with y'all.
Hello,
listening.
Tariq. Better love.
Better love, greeting. Yeah, brothers on it, dropping the, you know, what their vision is, what they're setting up, the full spectrum dominance. is what it's based on, the ideology from Hollyweird, basically. And all the technology is leading in that direction. I just watched an interview with Mike Wallace and Aldous Huxley, the one who wrote Brave New World, 1984,
mm-hmm.
which is what we're we're pretty much in today. If you look at it straight up, you combine that with the way that they brought those Nazis over here in 1944 with Operation Paperclip. And then 1948, they brought Project Monarch, which is the MK Ultra and all the rest of the psychological warfare that Tavistock Institute is behind and pushing all around the world from the city of London. And so, you know, it's in our face, folks. All this information is at your fingertips. Don't just take my word for anything. Go check it out. Anything I put out, I guarantee you, you go look it up, you're going to find it to be what I said it was. Because that is how I have been trained over the years. And I'm going to be at the end of my eighth decade here very soon. And I think I have enough experience and enough knowledge base to put out stuff that is for real, not just some, you know, like these preachers and guys, so-called leaders that show up at these funerals with empty words and don't bring nothing right to the table. You know, get a check and go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we have to come with solutions, you know, and you're bringing information to us that give us access to where a solution can be found. The key to this, that's the key to why we communicate with information, so that we can find the solutions to these problems, these issues. Anyway.
That's true. That's true.
Any of the leaders telling anybody about this metaverse coming? You know what I'm saying? None of them, you know, that's the killer. It's like, we're always behind. When the internet came out, we was behind. Didn't have computers, you know what I'm saying? And now they're switching it up again. You know, I look at a lot of black people, and they still talking about the same stuff they was talking about when the internet came out. Man, they still trying to get back to Africa. They still like, bro, the future is here. We got to go forward, man. We can't go backwards. It's a killer, man.
Now, remember, brother, those who promoted the out of Africa theory and Africa as a name and back to Africa and all of that about the continent, largest continent in the world, by the way, with 3,000 languages and now 54 countries, mostly colonized, but very much in feudal order there throughout the continent. Then you have all this Dutch, English, British, South African, Southern Azania, as the people call it. So we should not call the continent behind a Roman general. We should call the continent what the people call it, which is Al-Kabilan or Amexum or whatever other names that are there by the people themselves, rather than what the British tell us, that the whole continent is Africa because the Roman general defeated Hannibal's son, and with the help of the Vandals, of course. So, you know, this is the knowledge we have to have to defend ourselves in this, what they're doing to us, because they're bombarding us with nonsense, and we don't seem to have our base together to be able to knock it out of the way and put our stuff there. We have good opportunity now with homeschooling, is to really get out front and get our children, get them educated rather than deducated as they become going through the public school system. So, you know, that's another 2 cents there. Thank you.
Yeah, but that's true. You're speaking.
Peace, brother.
All right. Thank you for that.
Yeah, peace.
All righty. Let's go to 706-202. 706-202. 202?
Hotep and Better Love.
Are you
sister
there?
There.
Okay,
I'm
Hotep, Kwame.
Oh, yeah, I don't. And I heard a long lost stranger on this just spoke up there.
This is the name
of Kwame. Brother Kwame,
yes,
peace and love, my brother.
Peace and love, brother LA. But what I'm hearing, you know, you hit on point because what you said, 1965, those to today, part of the computer age, but they really started looking at what the mind controlled, and this is what he was speaking about with the Nazis coming here. But what Amos Tversky and Daniel Kahneman in 1972, cognitive bias. And cognitive biases is that the human brain, that they studied the human brain and finding out that, like you said, gaming, that reward system, that part of getting something, you know, this is what they're feeding on, that the human brain is this way. And what they've done is that they've now created this whole system of the World Wide Web. They've webbed it all together in the form of mapping out our neural net in this web that they've created. And what they're doing with this is that, what's the guy, Motorhead, the guy that worked for IBM, that was the brain over there, he was building silicon brains and building these chips. And what they were doing is that how fast could they get these chips to produce these supercomputers? Because what they were attempting to do, and this is what they're moving forward with in the metaverse, is they're virtually going into the human mind and seeing how that AI can control human DI, but the divine intelligence is greater. Because even with the greatest of their supercomputers, you know, when they turn around, they're steady increasing their gigabytes and their petabytes and all of these supercomputers and these chips that they're using, because that's what they've got to use to go from the World Wide Web and switch over now to the metaverse. And I sent you the thing about the neuromorphic computers, and you would tell them, and the company that now is going to be what is that, SGC?
I forget the name of the company.
Yeah, it was SGC. But they're going to be greater than Apple, Amazon, all of them, Google, because the way they've got their supercomputers hooked up, they're going to exceed what even is even fathomable for this metaverse. Their technology is to exceed what all of them combined attempting to do. This computer company has already had everything in place for this metaverse. So what we're seeing is it's a race for the same thing that they did in the industrial age and then and now in this computer age is the race for the human mind. And this is what they're wanting to control. And these two realities, this artificial one and this real world, the AI, the artificial intelligence, is in competition with the divine intelligence. And this is going to be the challenge, because the thing that they're looking at genetically, when you talk about epigenetics, in that we have coded genes that now, and this is why that they're going with the shot and trying to get us into the DNA level, because they have to get into the human body and to the human mind to really alter the whole genetic makeup of humans in order for them to transpose us from a Homo sapien to a Homo silicus. And that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to make the human from carbon to silica. And this is their attempt to do this through the human mind. But the thing about it is the mind is the air traffic controller for the body. The heart is the center of the will. And this is the challenge that man is going to have and being able to go against nature, the cosmos, the universe, and the solar system, because that intelligent computer is greater than what anything man can build.
Yes. And I also feel that, you know how they say we have those junk DNA, which, what other words they saying, they can't figure it out. But that junk DNA is what's going to, like, this, there's no competing against those strains of DNA that they call junk.
But that junk DNA, and you're correct, Bev, because that 33,000 strands that they talk about, the 33,000 strands of junk DNA, that's from our conception
right.
of being. That's the
mm-hmm.
whole,
yeah.
the reptilian
yeah.
brain, the mammal brain, and then the frontal, all of that's connected, because in the woman's mitochondria DNA, she rewrites the code every time. She mm-hmm. when she conceives, she's got three generations in her body. Herself, the child in her womb, and the eggs and the sperm that's going into that child that's developing in her womb. That's how computerized the woman's body is.
Yeah.
And that's why, and Brother Kwame, that's why the matriarchy must be brought back. We must bring back our womb. We must bring back the womb. And bring back the sacred womb and the matriarchy, the sisters who are there to make the final decision and keep us in line.
Right. But Mother Earth is the woman that we need to be watching, because she is getting ready to create something that man is not gonna know what to do with.
There you go. Yes, sir.
Yeah. And she's part of that DNA, that junk DNA, too. She's a major part of it.
Oh, yeah, because...
All right, thank you, Kwame. Mm-hmm.
All right, thank us,
yeah,
Bev.
Go ahead. No, go ahead. No, finish it.
No, because the thing that we're overstanding with what has been the alignment and where we are in our Milky Way galaxy, with the alignment and the shifting of the frequency from the Schumann frequency... Their place is right now on the planet. They went from 7.82 to almost 40.5 and 50 and higher. And some of the Earth frequencies has resonated and gone up because of the alignment. And what does that do to the human that's in that environment?
Kwame?
Yeah.
Hello?
Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
We had a disconnect. Go ahead. Now we hear you. Go ahead.
But I'm saying is that this is what the Great Reset has been, and this is what their activation of this Earth grid is reactivated and changing the frequency. We're now from a 6-strand, we're going to a 9, and we're going to eventually be into a 12-strand DNA like we originally were. And this is what the change is, and this is what they're trying to alter by putting in these nanoparticles and the crystalline into the nano and trying to re-alter the DNA, because if they cannot have a patent on it, but if you change and you alter the strands and coding of the human DNA, then you have an opportunity. This is what the Human Genome Project was there for. This is what they did in Oak Ridge, Tennessee, there where they built the H-bomb, but then they turned around there and started cloning. And what they did was that they started cloning sheep and they started cloning pigs, and they were attempting to start cloning humans, but they stopped them. And so what we're seeing is that they're altering. And you made a very key point, Tutmos, when you said when they were looking at the eyes, it's because that's why they masked everybody up, because they had all the behavior that they needed. They needed to get the retina readings. And all of the cameras that you do, the retina reading is because you got a mask on that it doesn't facial recognize is only focused on retina reading.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's true.
Sit
that's
back
true.
And pop your popcorn. This is going to be a good show.
Okay. And like I said, we're being activated. Better love.
We
Thank you, Tommy,
activated.
For that.
We've already been activated.
I know. All right. Okay. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Kwame. Stay on the mound table. I'm going to open up 404-453.
404-453. Hey, peace and better love. You hear me, Sister Bev? Y'all hear me?
Yes, we
Yahoo,
yes,
brother,
we
Yahoo.
Love.
Yahoo. Hey, y'all. Hey, I found an interview. Somebody showed this brother in 1983. His name was Barry White. And y'all look up that interview he said about the computer age, man. That shit will blow your mind what Barry White was saying in 1983 about what the computer's going to be able to do and what we should do. But my question is to my man Tutmos, what's the name of that company that's going to come out with them contact lenses? Because I missed the computer age. I ain't put no money in it. But dude, I wear contact lenses, so I'm going to try to drop a few pennies in this contact lens thing. What's the name of that company, Tutmos?
I'm going to tell you in a second.
If you can't find it, just send it to me, man. Okay? But I think this Travis Scott thing was that Hegelian dialect, y'all. Okay? He already in the metaverse. So now they had the little concert where people went crazy and got stampeded. So they created the problem to get the reaction solution. So now they're going to make all these concerts on the metaverse for anybody want to go see them. And plus, Sister Bev, you know Tina Turner sold her catalog, right? You know that, right, Sister Bell?
No, I didn't know that. I didn't hear that.
Yeah,
she sold her whole catalog.
I forget the name of the company, but for like 80-something million
okay.
dollars. So just mm-hmm. imagine what they're going to do with all her music and all that. They're going to have her in holograms and the metaverse and all that shit.
Who was that?
Right,
like
right.
Tina Turner. You heard of Tina Turner? Yeah, she sold
yeah,
her whole catalog to... Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Rest in peace to Ike.
Uh-huh. But you know Ike, you talking about Ike Turner, but I thought you get
right.
ready to say Isaac Hayes. It's Isaac Hayes, I'm pretty sure his son, Isaac Hayes III, is in Atlanta. You know that, Tutmos, don't he? He doing something with music, too. He looked just like it. And so, anyway, they talking about Isaac Hayes III and T.I., said something against that lady what was running. But, yeah, send it to me about them contact lenses, man, because I want to get on that, man. I ain't missing out on all this here. I'm getting old. I got to throw some money at something where I can get me some return on my investment.
Mojo.
Heard what
M-O-J-O Vision.
Okay, M-O-J-O, Mojo. That's easy to remember.
Yeah,
all right, let me check that out.
Yeah.
They raised $58 million in a Series B investment round in March 2019. So that if they did that in 2019, they should be at like Series A now. I mean, they got a alpha product that's ready to be made beta, meaning that they could mass produce it. So I would say, yeah, these are coming. So they're not public yet. So yeah, look them up and see if they got like an Indiegogo or something. Because when you invest early. They call angel investors, and then you'll get the stock price like at a dirt cheap. Like so, let's just say you put $1,000 in it, that might get you 500 stock. You know, and then when they go public, and it's you know $80 a stock the first week, you got 500 times 80. You know, so that's how that works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I appreciate that. Oh yeah, I saw something on what was that? Not the Twilight Zone, the other one, man. But anyway. It was about this sound came on the planet, and everybody, these children started, like 20 years old, and they started hearing it, and it was good sound, like the man Kwame was talking about, that sound. And all the children started turning into gold, like they looked like gold, man, because their frequency was real high, the love frequency that's coming on the planet, man. That sound ain't no joke, y'all. I'm telling y'all, man. But anyway, I'm going to mute myself, let y'all continue. I'm going to fade to black and listen to everybody on the show, like my man Kwame say. I'm finna fade the dark black midnight 12:30. Listen, I appreciate y'all. Love y'all.
Better
peace,
love.
Bro.
Take peace. Better love.
Better love, bro.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Okay.
General, that's the general.
All right, now the phone lines are open. 323-642-1586. If you have a question, comment, push number one, and I'll open your lines up. Okay, so we have people that's
for the
go ahead
for the roundtable. Do you guys understand like how this gamification is going to lure people in, and how addicting this is going to be to people? Like, if you ever go to like YouTube or they show those little short TikTok videos. Sometimes I watch one. You know, they might show you a chick with a nice body. So, you know, you're going to click on it to look, you know. And then the next one comes, some guy hammering a nail or something, screwing a nail, and another guy in China cutting glass. And before you know it, I looked up and watched about 50 of these little short videos without even knowing, like, not even paying attention. And, you know, that's just how it's going to work, man.
That's the boob tube.
Yep.
But
so they're just making it interactive now, man.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And apps like TikTok was made for the metaverse. That's
right.
Why that you know, it's not made for this. It's made for the metaverse. Because I was like, what's the big deal about this? You know, little short videos. I mean, I could watch a whole video on YouTube, but I started to realize that, man, this is really going to be a space, you know, where you go and do your stupid little dance, and it's going to be interactive, and yeah, it's going to, so that's not even for this, and so is Fortnite. Fortnite isn't for this, it's for the metaverse. Fortnite is that fighting game where they throw 100 people down on an island, and, you know, 100 people from all around the world, they on the computer playing. And the last one standing is the winner. You know what I'm saying? So they all got to kill each other. And the island starts to get smaller and smaller. You know, so, you know, you got to keep moving toward the center to make sure that you, you know, finish the last person type game. So, and it's all in its own verse. Like, it's his own world. And that Fortnite is where Travis Scott did that concert in this fighting game. You know, like, so the metaverse is, some of these things have been made for it. We're looking at it from this web and like, oh, okay, yeah. But it's not even for this web. It's already preordained to be for the metaverse, if you see what I'm saying.
Right.
Yeah, because I'm working at Microsoft, man, but I ain't in the office part. We in on the lobby, man. Y'all should see how all the way they setting up that lobby, man, for where they going to be cooking down there where the restaurant's at, man, at Microsoft. They won't let us go up to the office with the other people because I wanted to go up in the office and see what they doing in the cubicles, man, but they won't let us up there, man, at Microsoft, man. It's crazy.
But you made me go back in there and dig in my archives. I did a class. 95 or 96 here in Atlanta on technology and African-centered education and how can it help for children in the 21st century. And just the whole history and remember what the research I found on this, because even the first internet was in 1866, just after the Civil War. Sputnik in 1957, 1969, the law, the first LOG. Netscape and all of this was back there in the day. From 1958 to now, the internet history, the ARPA, the timeline on that. And even CERN, when they started CERN in 1990. So all of this has been leading up to this. And this is what they're doing is perfecting. First, they had to perfect how they're going to transmit and do that, because even when you look at what Dr. Menz, he was an engineer that worked for AT&T back in the day, and he after he left there, after he created, what his patent was he was the one who took glass and made it into fiber optics. And with him working for AT&T, he couldn't own the patent because they ate anything that they create in the laboratories for AT&T, but he was the one that created fiber optics. And then he came and started teaching at Morehouse. He was teaching physics at Morehouse. And so when we look at this whole revolution of the PC, starting back when you're talking about, because I'm looking here at some of these folks in here, the first 5 years of the WWW and how that was that. And it was a brother from Nigeria that wrote the code for part of the WWW. World Wide Web. But now you look at, and this is antique stuff here. This doesn't, they don't even have Netscape no more, and this is when AOL was starting, when you had the Ethernet that you had to go in. Now everything is basically in the air. You don't have any wires or that, because the optics is, and this is where they're going with the 6G. With satellite.
Mm-hmm. But if y'all ever hooked up some fiber optics, man, I done pulled fiber optics, man. That stuff is, when you pull it, it look like real wire, but when you pull it, you cannot shatter it, because it'll break real fast, man. That's some wild stuff. And then to try to splice some fiber optics, you got to look through a light and keep scrubbing it together, scrubbing it, and polishing one end of the wire real smooth. And that way it'll connect together, man. That fiber optics is some wild stuff, man. I'm telling y'all, man. If y'all ain't never worked with no fiber, man, that stuff will blow your mind. Just even pull it off the reel, man. It's crazy. I love fiber, man. That stuff, it's beautiful to work with, man. Because you got to look through a light just to see it all the way down the whole glass, all the way from one end of the wire to the other end of the wire with a light. You shine the light. And then you can see if the glass have been shattered way on the other end, man. That stuff wild, man. You can see, like, all
right,
from one end of the wire all the way to the other one, damn near all the way around the world, man. That stuff deep, man.
Right, because, you know, and this is the part that gets me, was I don't even think we use HTML no more. Very, very much of it. Because this was the first part of, then you had the SGML. And these were all languages that they wrote in and transmitting, I mean, as far as information.
Yeah, you know, all those fiber optic lines run under the oceans. They connect all these continents together. And,
right.
You know, every now and then they have to,
yep,
go down there and, you know, put up new lines and do that stuff. But it's a when you think about it, our whole infrastructure called the internet is terrestrial based. You know, it's
right,
all just right here on the earth. And the next thing is, like you said, getting it out of space, put it in them satellites, and bringing the signal down from there, you know. But, you know, they make us think that, you know, all this time, that's how you got your signal, right? You thought that AT&T had a satellite sending you your damn signal, and it just ran under the ground. It was here the whole time, you know.
Right.
That
was
AT&T when they ran that first telegraph line from America to the British, to England.
The telegraph.
Right.
And so with the fiber optics, man, they use the data to travel on the speed of light, man. That's what fiber optics is, y'all. They're traveling the speed of light on the photons.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, I'm just trying to explain it for the people that don't know what it is, man. It's traveling on light, man. This data information going through the speed of light. But they don't know. The fastest thing is the speed of thought. You get to the speed of thought, you got the ass. All right? You go to the speed of thought, word, action, you got it. Like that lady was talking about the other night, Miss Lady, on your show, Bill. Well, she was right on the money.
Right.
Yeah,
it is the speed of thought.
I call this the speed of thought, the speed of darkness. And I tell people
okay.
that the light and the darkness is faster than the light. That's why when you look out of space, mm-hmm. look how much darkness you see, and then look at all mm-hmm. the little specks of light. It's the darkness is moving so fast, you know. I'm not going to get into the dark sucker theory, but I think that these light bulbs suck out darkness, and they don't really light the room. They suck the darkness out the room. The higher caliber, higher capacity your light bulb has, the more darkness it's able to suck out of a certain area, you know. But if you ever go into a room and turn the lights on and they come on fast, turn the lights off. You know what I'm saying? Watch how fast that happens, yeah. Turn all the electricity, like let your electricity just cut off. I mean, that's instant. Bam. I mean, it happens so fast. Like, oh, what happened? You know, you're shocked it happened. You know, it happened so fast. That's the speed of darkness. And that's the fifth dimension. That's where they're trying to go. That's space.
Mm-hmm.
So they're mastering time. Time is light. Mm-hmm. They're mastering light.
Mm-hmm.
That's this technology we see it. They're going to master light to the point where they just go put it right in front of your face and different images of light. Now, the next step is to master darkness. And that's when they're going to say, hey, we can get to Mars. So you see, once they fifth dimension is space, that's darkness. You got to master darkness. All that darkness is matter. All that darkness out of space, you can't just fly through it. It's carbon in there, you know. So you got to float through it. These spaceships got to float out there like a submarine sort of. It's going through it, you know. They can't just land in one place, warp speed, and go somewhere else. I don't see that, you know, because how do you go through all that matter? If it's dark matter, it has some mass, so therefore it's heavy. You can't just go through it, you know. I think that the only people that can go out of space is people with melanin, because we made from that matter, so it won't affect us. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But that's
right.
But that's too, and the part of darkness is that the black hole, even though you see it, you can't see it, but what it's doing is taking in light and giving off energy, and they still haven't discovered what is on the other side of the black hole. But there's a brother who was at AMN, at Florida A&M, who created what was called the Internet 2. That was back in the day.
So what about if the black hole is like a means of traveling from one, you know, through black matter? You know, if you travel through the black holes.
What ancestors tell us is that the black hole takes in light and gives off stars. The woman's womb is the similarity to a black hole when it takes in light and gives off life. Because that one sperm that goes into that womb, that it's taken into that womb to that egg, it creates life. And that's the same concept. And this is what they look at in comparing that black hole and the black and that the woman's womb are one and the same. In that one takes in light and give off stars, the other one takes in light and gives off life. And so this is the energy of what we have as being human, but using her body is the same as the heavenly body. That's why it's called the Milky Way.
Right.
Because when she produces life, she produces what? Milk.
Mm-hmm. And that's why they say same as above, so below. And we come to this dimension through a portal. And that's why I feel like that we can travel through space, through the different galaxies and things, through portals.
And that was purpose of what some of the pyramids of Giza. Those were
mm-hmm.
launching pads to where this is why they built them with certain dimensions and outside was limestone and they had it covered with gold. But inside, is granite, and they have different grades of granite. And when you put that granite into a certain dimensional building, that when you give off a mantra, you transport that person laying in that sarcophagus in the ceremony. You transport them out into the universe. Their spirit will travel out into the universe, and then you can draw down the spirit that needs to come into the world. And this is why they say that the way that the ships were made, with the two ends that they were wormholes that you could travel, that we travel into the heavens and we came back through.
And so the worm ways, the portals are like the highways. That's how I kind of look at them, through the universe.
And we travel with OBE, and we're now beginning to reawaken that OBE, the out of body experience. When you dream, being able to travel and go into other dimensions and other universes, or either to go into deja vu, that you go and you turn around and say, "Hey, I remember this," but you projected yourself into your future. Past, present, and future are all right now, but when we put the body to rest, that means that the spirit can leave. The body was still there because we're still connected by the golden cord, and that's the part of how people, when they meditate, when you go into a deep meditation and you pay that what is it, West, what, 528 is love frequency? Because I know 422 is earth.
Yes, sir.
And
when
you go into a meditation in that, that's how Steve Jobs created Apple. He started doing transcendental meditation, and when he went on the other side, he got all the technology from the other side that he brought back and began to build that new technology called Apple.
Right on, y'all. It's 11-11. Go ahead, bro.
Now, he got to the other side taking acid. You know what I'm saying? That's how he got to the other side.
Well,
and a lot of those ancients, they was messing with that frog chemical.
You're talking about Combo. But Combo, that's why everybody's looking at running down to South America doing ayahuasca. I mean, I had a group to come here, and I had a sister come here for me, and we did a group here because you need that plant medicine, because that plant medicine is what I was talking about, that 33,000 junk DNA, it rewires that. It begins to rewire you back into that, take that junk DNA and start reprogramming it back into you. And this is what the people are doing when they take the plant medicine, because the plant medicine, we're the youngest of creation. That plant medicine has been here, and it's been holding, and it's rooted into the earth, and it's been reactivated with the frequency. So when we take that medicine, it's given us the life force that we need to rewire the brain. And the same thing with the poison from Combo that's taken from the frog. Because we what does the human body look like when it's a fetus? I mean, when it's an embryo. Looks like a tadpole. It's a stage that we go back in order to bring us forward. That's why we do the Native American church, where we use the succulent plant, the peyote. We use that in order to purge and get all of the garbage out of you in order for the new energy to come into you. Because we're constantly being bombarded, because there's trillions of particles that's falling from the cosmos as we speak. And every time we walk in sunlight, go out in the moonlight, you're being bathed and you're being absorbed. But this is why they're trying to create the frequency to distort it. This is why the cell phone towers and all of this Wi-Fi, this is why when I went to the recovery conference in Colorado, I stood there and told them, I said, now we're going to have to start having meetings for Wi-Fi crack addicts because our kids are going to be Wi-Fi crack addicts. You ever watch a child when the Wi-Fi go off, he act just like an addict. They go,
it's already like that. With that, it's already like that.
With the cell phone.
Yeah. People like that now. That Wi-Fi go out, they can't connect with that phone. They just like a junkie without they fix. Because it does.
And look
what?
At people.
It does the dopamine. That's why when Tutmos was saying the TikTok is designed to go directly to the dopamine the same way crack was taken from cocaine and turned into a crystal and made it so when you smoke it, it goes to the euphoric part of the brain. That's the same thing that is doing with you. You're just looking at it and you're not ingesting it. You're taking it in through your eyes.
That's right.
Yeah, and the crazy thing is I had said years ago, because we was talking about, these shows, and I said the way you kill the shows is little 5 to 10 minute clips, just short, real small clips.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it, you know, because no one's attention span, these young kids can't sit through a 2-3 hour show. We're the last generation that could do that. You know, their attention span is so short. My attention span is shorter than someone older than me because I grew up in the microwave generation. You know, I could go, y'all had to wait for food. I could just put it in for a minute and get it, you know, right away. That instantaneous, you know, these kids today, man. So the 2, 3, 5, 10 minute clips is the killer. And then TikTok comes, and I'm like, man, they done stole my damn idea. You know what I'm saying? That's all they got the attention span for, is that little short little burst of a ha-ha-ha, get the little laugh off, and that's it. You know, that's
the dopamine.
Speed. Yeah.
Dopamine.
Yep, that little fix.
It's that quick fix.
Yep, once they get that fixed, the rest of it is pointless. They don't need nothing else from it. It's all going to go out in one ear and out the other. So you got to just fit it in a 2-minute clip, 5-minute clip, and that's it, you know?
That's
right.
See, that's why the algorithm.
Tariq and I are the guys, we can get up off the couch and go turn the channel. Everybody else going to run through the house trying to find the remote control.
Hey, them new TVs that are coming out is where you can turn the channel with your mind, man. That's the new generation television coming out now, man. Where you can just sit there and look at it and say, I don't like that channel. Go ahead, Sister Bear.
And it's on a roller.
And you got Alexia and what's the other woman's name? All you do is tell them to turn it on for you, too.
TV on.
That's the dangerous part because if you could tell it to do something, that means it's listening to you when you ain't asking it. It knows what to respond to.
And that's what I was talking about when I said the new processor chip. Because our phones is already listening to you. Just say
that's
Siri.
Right.
And that phone's going to wake up. It was just off. So she's listening to you. So with the phone now, with the camera always on, because it's just looking for your face. It's just waiting for you to look at it so it can turn on without you having to do nothing. That right
IBM.
There,
IBM
try to commit a crime.
That. Right, IBM created that because they made that for handicapped people to where this is why, what was his name in the wheelchair that was the genius?
Steve Hawkins.
That was created because all he had to do was look, his eyes could read and tell everything he wanted it to do. The computer learns to read your eyes.
Come on.
Just like you. And this is all they did. This is why they masked us up. Because all the cameras, all they know is your behavior. They went up in your nose and got your DNA. Now all they need to do is your retina and your reaction time with your eyes. Because the eyes is the mirror to the soul.
And then after that, it's going to be straight, no sound, just thought, man. Okay,
yep, that's what they're after.
By not talking, but just use your mind and think about shit and happen. Do it now. We doing it now, whether y'all know it or not.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, right. That's going to be the new technology, where you just think about something, and then it'll appear, man.
How do these pilots fly these planes? Because they've got a helmet with the sensors in it. When they think thoughts to turn or to do whatever, that's how they maneuver these jets.
Hmm.
That's how
the pilots are trained. That helmet has the wiring in it that it's reading his brain, and as he's seeing where he's going and what he's doing, that plane will react to it. That's why they can't have any other thoughts in their head when they up there.
And that's what Elon Musk warned us about a long time ago. And then I just saw on the internet the other day him walking along. And then all of a sudden, you saw that it wasn't really him. It was a robot, by the way, he twisted and turned. I mean, man, we are being bamboozled big time, baby, with what they got going.
It's impossible to tell what's real from fake. If you look up on WikiFakes and Obama, and they're going to show four different clips of Obama giving a speech, and his lips are going to be moving in sync with the words and everything, and they say, which one is real? And then when you pick which one, they say none of them are real. They made all of them up. You know what I'm saying? And Trump is saying stuff like, you know, he'll never say, man, you know, I love the Chinese, man. And, you know, me, I was sitting on Xi Jinping's lap, and, you know, he would laugh and smile. Like, he makes a joke, and they do all of that with the technology now. They don't even need actors. They could do a whole movie with just the image of Denzel. They could take the image of Denzel from Glory, young Denzel, and put him in a movie. And you know what I'm saying? Right now, it'll look just like it's a young Denzel. You'll think it's an old movie, you know? But, yeah,
The mastery of CGI, exactly what they did to us in 2001 when you had all them 48 Israeli art students that had a whole floor in Tower 1 or 2, whichever one they had, full of electronic triggers, and then they want to blame it on the 19 Arabs with the box cutters.
But I'm still trying to figure out, okay, Tower 1 and Tower 2 blow up, but how did they blow up? The planes didn't hit. What was the Tower 7, the smaller one that they had, and it got blew up?
Exactly. It did get blown up. It got blown down.
Tower 7, right? I work right next to the new Tower 7 now. Well, I work next to all of them, but then I was at the World Financial Center, which is across the street from the World Trade Center. And Tower 7, that was the most beautiful building. It was peach marble building. It was like 50 floors. Beautiful building. It looked like it didn't belong there. It was almost like, man, you know, because the World Trade Center got that. Yeah, Building 7. It was a peach marble building.
Yeah, that was Silverstein's building.
Silverstein on oil.
Yeah,
y'all look at the picture of the new World Trade Center, and they're like a giant fucking syringe needle, man.
That's right.
Pull up the picture of the new World Trade Center.
New World Trade Center.
Like that damn big,
it's just like a
needle.
A needle in a syringe.
When you stand next to it, though, I'm going to tell you what it looks like. If you stand in front of it, you're going to see, Google the Oculus at the World Trade Center. It's a big, white, round thing with a split down the middle of it. And then you look at the World Trade Center, especially at night, and it's a big black penis in front of a white vagina. Look at it, man. It's total. It's a phallus. The Oculus is a vagina. Man. It's shaped just like a vagina. I swear not, man. I work right there. I go there for lunch every day. And I'm going to tell you, when those planes hit, the first plane, it was going slow. Because I was thinking, it's like he aiming it. And he, bam, I said, oh, shit, somebody just hit the World Trade Center with a plane. People like, man, stop playing, man. You joke. Like, yo, it just, so we're sitting at the windows like, oh, they're going to fix that in 2 months. They're going to fix that in 2-3 months, man. Like, we never thinking this thing is going to fall. You know what I'm saying? We trying to get up to the higher floor so we can get a good, better look. Like, oh, man. And then we like, what is that? And then we saw the people jumping out and hit. They were landing on top of the Marriott. It was between the two buildings. It was a metal Marriott. It was called the World Trade Center Marriott. And they were hitting the top of that metal building, like, boom. And you could hear it through the glass proof. Like, the building I was in is soundproof. But you could hear that crashing, like, oh, sweat, those are people. And then, then the second one came. And we was like, yo, there's another plane. And that one was going fast. Yep. That one hit.
No plane, bro. Now, I don't know about
what?
You.
Brother,
I was
about
looking
you, at
but
it from right there on the 40th floor of the next building. I saw what I saw. Now, I'll tell you this. The planes didn't have windows, and they didn't have words on them. And
right. Well, that was one plane. That was one plane. But that plane could not, as you must know, that the front of those planes are all of a very hard plastic. Second of all, the rest of the plane is of light metal, aluminum. Third of all, you got steel engines. So you're going to tell me that a plane flying at 600 miles an hour could penetrate first the outer steel? And then the inner steel things as well? No, sir. No,
well,
no.
They
and the architects and engineers
don't work that. Hey, they timed it simultaneously.
I saw what I saw, bro.
You saw it, but I'm going to tell you how they did it, man. They timed it simultaneously when the plane hit to make the building explode, blew it up at the same time, man. And it could have been a hologram.
Now, those explosions came, like, I say, about 30 minutes. After the second plane hit, because the explosion started at the bottom floors, you could hear them.
Well, that's how they did
it. Blew the building out from the bottom, and it just fell right in like a pancake right on top of itself.
Yeah.
And that's
bro,
what I was like, oh,
yeah,
shit, I'm getting out of here.
Listen, 75,000 people in Manhattan in the day after the 9/11 were suffering from radiation sickness, so because they had to use a micro nuke to bring that building down, those towers down on their own prints.
Right, because they did a program and they showed
that's not what they did. I'm telling y'all what they did, bro. I was dead. The day,
okay,
the week before the World Trade Center hit, true story, I could call people up. We at work. We at the World Financial. Look at how close the World Financial Center is to the World Trade Center. Right there. The only thing is we're closer to the West Side Highway, so we're looking at one side of the building is looking at the World Trade Center. The other side is looking at the Statue of Liberty. We're at work. If somebody parachutes in and gets stuck on the Statue of Liberty torch, so everyone is looking that way. So how did this idiot do this? All the news cameras are there. I worked at the mail room. So I grab my mail cart and I go to do my round. And I get to the other side of the building facing the World Trade Center. And people were climbing up the World Trade Center with ropes and fatigue suits with backpacks. And that's the bombs. They put them there 2-3 days before. Because it was like, what are they doing? Are they doing an exercise? I'm like, huh? And those buildings caved in from the bottom out. Like,
yeah.
So the planes hitting was a diversion. Like I said, when the plane hit,
yeah,
we all said, yo, they're going to fix that in 2-3 months. That was nothing. It hit like the top floor.
Right.
It was like, that's nothing. But when the buildings fell, they blew out from the bottom. Boom.
Right.
Boom. It right down. Now, four days later, I had to go back to the scene to get people's personal possessions because, of course, when this happened, and my company had 12,000 people, everybody just jetted. You know, we didn't even know if people was alive, dead, if they got caught out there, what. So we had to go back to retrieve laptops and FedExes and files, and because I worked for an accounting firm. So they put us in hazmat suits, right? And we had to have breathing things on. And when we stepped out of these buses, because the dust was up to my, like, thigh, like right to the bottom of my thigh above my knee. Now, I'm 6'5". That's dust. It was like, what is this? It was dust. It wasn't.
Yeah, they turned that metal into dust.
So that was a direct energy weapon. So that same day, I go to a guy to get out of that area, you got to go east. So you try and get to, like, the South Street Seaport, because I was going to Queens to see my daughter. She was just born. And when I get east, the whole east side, the whole, like, by the South Street Seaport where you got the FDR, because, of course, at this point, no traffic, nothing is going on. Everything is shut down. So all the cars, when I'm walking up on them, they look perfect. When I get close to them, the whole other side of the car is melted. Like it
that's
was plastic.
Right. And that's why
you need a direct energy weapon. That's what caused that dust, that powder.
But they
blew that building out. Like, you could look it up, man. Man stuck on.
You're talking about Dr. Woods. You're talking about Dr. Woods.
No. Man stuck on the Statue of Liberty, September 2001.
Oh, yeah.
It was like September 6th. This dude was stuck. And while he was stuck there, they was walking up that building in fatigues and stuff, bro, and they had backpacks. You know what I'm saying? And that to me, that was the signifier, like, those are the people that set those explosions up. Because what were they doing? No one was looking at them. Everyone was looking at the Statue of Liberty at the stupid idiot court. That was all set
up. Divergent. Yes, sir.
But what else did they have? What did they have in the Atlantic Ocean? It was a hurricane out there.
Oh, right. Yep.
It was a hurricane off the coast of Long Island. Yep.
Right.
I believe Maria was the name.
Mm-hmm.
Because to me, what you saw, there was not a plane that hit the Capitol building.
A hologram.
It wasn't a plane that crashed in Pittsburgh. Those planes crashed out to sea. So when you go to right after 9/11, they had just opened the airports back up because they shut everything down. There was a flight leaving JFK Airport going to the Dominican Republic, and it didn't even get out past the ocean. It just crashed.
It
crashed in Far Rockaway, New York, right?
Far Rockaway.
Far Rockaway.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden they said, they started pulling out all these engines from the ocean. So they showed the airplane hangar with 6 engines. And I said, how the hell one plane got 6 engines?
6 engines.
You know, so that was to me showing. Yeah, go ahead, bro.
You got it. You said it.
Yeah. But definitely what I saw hit those buildings was planes. But they
was not the first Delta plane.
It was a military plane. It was gray.
Yeah.
It had a blue. It had a blue circle on the front of it and no windows.
Right.
They had 4
remote control, man.
And that's the one that they ran into the bottom section of building the second tower. Right? That's the plane that hit the second tower. But now watch this. NBC News had the female reporter flying with the police helicopter above the tower. And when she looked down, all of a sudden the building exploded there and stuff came out the other side. But there was no plane that flew in front of. I mean, because it was being tailed and filmed at the same time, so you saw all in front of the towers, but no plane ever came that way. See, on the first one, that was a missile. Because that went straight into where the money was. Remember that was the securities company at the top there that were having their big executive meeting where the chairman didn't make the meeting because he got caught in traffic. But the missile hit that section of the building and took all those people out. And then there was another part of the other building where they had all the material stored for the biggest investigation that was ever done about corruption and about payoffs and about bribery and all of this shit that went on. And that's where, just where that the second so-called plane was supposed to hit. And that's what blew that whole floor out there and destroyed all of those records for that big investigation. See, so all of this,
well,
of course, was planned. I mean, you know, that's just the thing.
I just say, they was, well, I definitely saw two
time,
planes hit. But
during that time, I had did some research on that, and the research was saying what Tutmos was saying, because the people that was there a few days before say they saw men in there working, and they were putting those. Now they look back, they were putting the bombs in there. And
that's
some
right.
of the
that's
experts
right.
that know about blowing up buildings, they
yeah,
say
the
way
before.
That the building went down.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah,
remember,
right.
the Israelis.
Had,
mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the plane
had
was
all
the diversion. That
yeah,
was the diversion.
Yeah.
But did anybody? Let me ask this question: did anybody hear of the train robbery that happened? The gold that was coming from Switzerland that was supposed to have been going to the UK for them to make this conversion when they were going to the euro.
No,
but the day
they said that there was a yeah.
Where was the train robbery?
Two
up in
days
the
Swiss, before.
In the Swiss Alps.
This was all about a robbery, because the day or two before it was trillions of dollars that was missing from
right.
the Pentagon. And that guy
right.
blew
mm-hmm.
up. And that day that came from the explosion came from the inside. Not
right
the
out.
Plane
yep.
hit it or nothing.
There you go. Come
yeah,
on.
No plane hit that.
Tell it, Beth. Yep, that's it. That one at the
right.
at the Pentagon, that was no plane. That was a missile or
no,
or a drone.
That was a missile.
It was a drone or a missile.
Yeah.
Yeah, because
yeah.
otherwise it wouldn't have been no 36 inch hole. Come on.
Yeah.
36 inch mm-hmm. hole with a plane.
And not a piece of the plane was found.
Nothing. Nothing was found. And the sister that was working in the Pentagon went and got her son out of the daycare, and they crawled out of the place. And she said it was from the inside out that the explosion happened,
right.
not from outside in.
Moral
I mean,
of the story,
was,
you got to question everything. You better question
yeah,
everything y'all see
sense.
Now. Everything you see in here, you better question everything
right.
now. With this.
Yep. Absolutely.
But that was a robbery. All that was there, too. That was a robbery.
Right.
All that was
shut down
for.
The whole. Because that shut down Wall Street for what? Almost a month?
Yep.
So look
and
how much
the
money
gold,
they just. Look how much money they just robbed us for in the last year. Like $7 trillion.
Huh?
Right in front of our face.
Right in our face.
With this
yeah,
vaccine
yeah.
and all this shit. It
come on.
Shut
yeah.
down everywhere.
Right yep.
Shut down
now, what $7 trillion do they have anywhere at any time? Now, when the Pentagon is $30 trillion in the hole. And has
exactly.
never, yeah, they have never accounted for over $30 trillion. Now, wait a minute. Who's in charge of this country? A president who? Come on, you know. How you going to have a police,
yeah,
how you going to have a military that's $30 trillion in the hole, and you're talking about an election with Trump and Biden and all that bullshit? Come on, y'all. That just don't make
mm-hmm.
no sense whatsoever. None.
Yeah, they're running a good boo game on everybody. Good side,
yep.
man. That's all I can say. They're good with this shit.
Yeah, they are. Yes, sir. I mean, nothing but funny about it, but, I mean, they're good at it. And it's Tavistock Institute. Don't forget. Go back and check them out. That's where it comes from. Right out of the city of London.
Mm-hmm. They're the major players, man.
Major.
They got their hands in everything.
Yeah, absolutely.
Everything.
Come on.
And I think that something big is about to happen when that chick folks. That's what this all. Everything is gearing toward. Everything we see is gearing toward her dying and
who's
having
that?
A king. Ooh. Finally having.
Oh, you talking
king.
About the queen?
Yeah.
The queen.
Oh yeah. Because she's been dethroned. See, and nobody's in Buckingham Palace. You know, my
mm-hmm.
people over there tell me there ain't nobody in Buckingham Palace.
Yeah,
like
they don't
the
even have
the
yeah, nobody in the White House either.
Nobody
I hear.
Right.
No, I said Trump. I said Biden is going to be the first virtual president. And
yeah.
And I looked the other day. He had a virtual meeting with Putin.
That's what he is.
I said, look at this, man.
Yeah.
He's the first
that's
virtual
right.
president.
Yeah.
He has a virtual
yeah.
meeting with a president. Like, you know, and then they trying to instigate what's going over there in the Ukraine.
Yeah, talking about what they can't. Yeah, what they can't do and what they can do and all that old kind of shit. Get
yeah.
out of here.
Last time, see, the Ukraine is important to Russia because Russia don't have no water around.
And
you know, got the Arctic at the top, but it's inland. So the
yeah.
Ukraine's military, the naval base is Russia's biggest yeah. naval base.
Right.
And they have to, if they don't have access to that, then they're not a world power. So
nope.
they're going to get that, keep that at all costs. The U.S. is
yeah.
trying to dictate, no, y'all can't go in there, and y'all can't, and they're not going to let that happen, man. They're going to protect that only naval base they have, or they got too
absolutely.
Much oil floating in them oceans to not have a military out there to protect it. You know, they ain't stupid.
Exactly.
So,
exactly. You got to know that you know, the other superpower, so-called, and they have been building and doing things that the U.S. has been trying to counter all these years, and it's a worldwide phenomenon. You know, this country's got how many hundred bases around the world? How
man,
many
more
hundred
than two.
Bases? And who's paying for that? And where is the money coming from that for that? How many trillion is that costing us? You know, who's accounting for that? You see, these are the questions we should be asking and getting answers from. And if you go get the Pentagon CAFR, Comprehensive Annual Financial Report for the last 4 or 5 years, and get a couple of good accountants or auditors and go through them, you're going to find gazillions of dollars that's missing.
Yeah, but
you know.
We're looking at Russia, but ain't nobody watching what China doing down in the West Indies. And
well,
that close to the Western world is where China is moving itself into.
Well, they already own half the Western world. I mean, who's financing?
Exactly. The U.S. is behind.
Exactly.
The U.S. is behind everything China's doing.
Absolutely.
China doesn't get to where they at without the U.S. capitulating.
Every time.
U.S. is letting them go into Africa. Letting them take over airports in Uganda, they looking the other way, you know, because
right.
who makes all the stuff that we use? China. So they need those
China,
resources.
Yeah.
They
right.
need the
India
resources
China.
In the West Indies. The
right.
stuff that the U.S.
China
used
can
to
shut this country down,
for. Mm-hmm.
All the electronics we got, China can shut down America with one switch, man. All the damn electricity and shit parts come from China, man.
Oh, China.
China
shut down. If China shut down America, America turned off China's internet. See, China gets the internet from America. So
right.
their whole system runs on the internet. So they can't shut nothing down.
Hey,
you
hey,
got them by the
hey,
ball,
hey,
bro.
It's a mutual,
hey,
it's a
hey,
mutual
remember,
destruction
hey,
thing.
Hey, Tutmos, remember
come
when
on,
Obama sent all them Obama sent all them servers over to England somewhere, man. Okay,
mm-hmm.
so you remember that? Well, he
mm-hmm.
said all them servers and all that shit ain't even in America now, man.
No, it's over in the British Isles. Because
there
remember,
you go.
This is
the
a British colony to this day. This is still a British colony.
The internet runs out of Hackensack. It runs out of the IEEE.
Hackensack, New Jersey. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
man.
And anytime they want to shut down China's internet, they cut off all the protocols right from Hackensack. Just cut them
right
off.
From Hackensack?
They can't
wow.
do nothing. They can't
That's
go
beautiful.
From one
That's
phone to the
to
next
know.
Phone. They can't do nothing. It's all protocols.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. That's awesome.
That's why China's saying, we don't want the U.S. to control the metaverse. We want in. We don't, if y'all controlling it, we're going to create our own, and we're going to compete with you.
They have to.
Because if you can't shut us down. You can't just turn us off and keep bullying us, you know, with that Trump card. Because if you run everything on a technology like China does, if the U.S. shuts down their internet, you're going to have total chaos. Like, everything is off, man.
There
no one
you
can spend money. Cars ain't going to start. It's going to be total chaos.
And that's what Kissinger set up when they did the ping pong diplomacy back in the 1970s. And that's how we have a China today running things the way they are and doing the things that we want them to do on the continent over there, because you always have a boogeyman to point your finger at. And this is always the way of the empire builders, the imperialists. This is their methodology consistently. They always got you looking over here to the right, but while they're over here on the left doing what they're doing. Yeah, and so this is how this whole thing works, you know, misdirection, deception.
Yeah, but who's still controlling the neutron bombs?
Oh, I think it's the military, U.S. military, isn't it?
Yeah, but the neutron, you know what neutron bomb is that you can fly it over our city and you explode it and it'll knock out all the power in that whole area.
And it'll kill a lot of people. But you have no buildings having any damage at all.
None. And what it does is that's the way it's designed to knock out power, and it'll kill a few people if they're out in the open. But if people are inside, it's made to knock out electricity.
Right, exactly. But it'll kill a lot of people that are in the street and they're riding around.
The U.S. got HAWK for that.
Yep.
That's why they got HAWK. HAWK will detonate that shit way before it gets hit. You know what I'm saying?
Get their HAWK?
That's what HAWK is for.
Oh, HAWK,
You know what I'm saying?
HAWK is twofold, though, because it's owned by the Defense Department. But HAWK bounces off the ionosphere, and this is where they create the space warfare.
Right.
Because
also
what they do is watch. And this is what they use to counterattack by using the weather to do their attacking by sending those radio waves into the weather.
Yep, into the warm water, bringing up the monsoon rain, and you can and you know about the monsoon rain. You've been over there in the Nile. You know how, man. When you talking about monsoon rain, you're not talking about some lightweight rain, bro. You talking about powerhouse.
But I've seen them do it. You can track it and seen it when it did it, like the thing that they did, the last one they used was in Houston. When they stopped the rain, when that hurricane came, that you seen there was like a wall that hurricane couldn't go no further. It just stayed in that part of Houston and kept bouncing off that wall and flooding up that air. They devised it. They've got it down pat now to where they're doing.
They got a whole bunch of houses.
What was 47, and now they have 144 around the planet.
See that? Wow, man.
Just like when that hurricane hit Tampa, all the water was sucked up, man. The water just was sucked up in the atmosphere, man.
Yep. I hear you. Yep, this is, I mean, come on now. When you have such monopolies as we have now, and remember, all the antitrust laws and anti-monopoly laws in the 20s and all that stuff was done, and they've been going around all that stuff big time ever since. And now it's to the point where they have the concentrated power in the hands of an elite few who are telling the actual machine which direction, what things to do, how to do it, all that. And it's all coming down to the little man behind the door, behind the curtain, excuse me, where the dog pulled the curtain back and finds a little old man back there.
That's the Wizard of Oz,
yeah. Yeah, Wizard of Oz. Yeah, it looks like that's where we're headed. I mean, you know, it just It just doesn't seem to be anything other than a movie and a script. And a, I mean, they're following so many of these Hollywood movie scripts that they put on us all these years, you know, and it's been very, especially since the 50s, since they used Project Monarch with Ike as I Like Ike president, as got him to be president, you know, accident, I mean. He Eisenhower, and then he built, all the while he was building this military industrial complex that he then warns us about when he leaves office. Thank you very much.
Yeah, but he warned you when he was coming out of office. He says, "Watch the military industrial complex."
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, I'm saying it's
right.
Like,
but what he did was when he created the interstate. And so now we're looking at the new interstate is going to be what's coming in 2050, the super rail.
The super rail
that's not right, but across America is 2050, the super rail, because China is opening up the trade road, and it's going to run trains across Europe.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be the Mike. Everything is basically the Mike anyway, made in China, and China already is saying with their anniversary, this is 2021 is their 100th
anniversary
of the Communist Party.
And they
are saying that they're going to be the AI of the world.
That's correct. Yes. And people better wake up and you know, because it's in your face every day. I don't know, you know, I mean, they love to distract us with all this nonsense, but you know, They're literally telling you every day, we want you out of the way. We want you gone. We want as many of you gone as we possibly can get to go. You got to go. And the
Georgia Guidestones say.
Georgia Guidestones,
that
that's right.
What, 500 million.
500 million in complete harmony with nature. Huh. You know, what a joke. Because they ain't the most unnatural thing ever walked, talking about being in harmony with nature. Yeah, right.
Yeah, but watch out for China coming up now, 2021. They're trying to block it. Trump blocked it. Biden's trying. But their cars are coming. And if you go to China, they got 5 state-owned car companies, all owned by the state.
Yep.
And they, in order for GM, Toyota, Ford, all of them to do business in China, they have to
sell everything to the state.
They have to, the Chinese government builds the factory. The Chinese government provides the employees. The Chinese government builds the cars. GM, Ford, Toyota, Honda, they all provide the schematics for the car, the blueprints. And then they keep 50, they split the profits 50-50 with the Chinese government. So it's working perfectly for GM, Ford, because if you go to China, a Buick is $100,000-something, and they driving them like crazy. They love Buicks. They love
and
Cadillacs.
They got $100,000.
Yeah, they got the money, but the problem is the electric cars.
It's coming.
These electric cars that China's about to bring over here, now mind you, they have the same quality and standard as Ford, General Motors, Volkswagen, Mercedes, because they make them over there now. So they fit the standards of the European, they fit the standards of the National Transit Authority. They're going to come over here, and they're going to kill the United States market. It's going to be like when the Japanese brought their cars over during the gas
back in the day.
And the Volkswagen.
Volkswagen.
They came over with little cars that didn't suck up a bunch of gas and took General Motors, Ford, ate their food. But the problem is Ford and General Motors don't got nothing to compete with this. The only company that's going to compete with China is Tesla.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even close. Tesla's about 20 years ahead of General Motors and Ford. You know, and the only people 10 years ahead of 10 years ahead of China, but they closer than General Motors and Ford, you know. So,
The question I'm asking, with all of these electric cars, all of them run on batteries. The battery life in them cars in the next 10 years or so after that, what are they going to do with, just like we had all of those monitors and big old computers, well, we put them into containers and send them to China so they could tear them apart and use all of the metal and gold out of them. That's the same way we're going to be with batteries coming out of these electric cars when they start have to change them out.
Now, I have some family members that have electric cars, but they have hybrids, so it runs on gas and electric.
Yeah, that's not electric. That's hybrid. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's different. Okay.
Electric is strictly battery.
Right.
What China has is they got companies. Now, mind you, these companies are valued more than Ford and General Motors now. This is the key. So three companies in particular, one called XPENG. XPENG. One called NIO, N-I-O, and one called BYD. And BYD, that means stands for Build Your Dreams. And they make their own batteries. Everything in-house. So they're the closest thing to Tesla there is, because Tesla makes everything in-house. They 3D print the parts. They use, they're casting the bottom of their cars now, making them into one piece instead of hundreds of pieces. Just make one piece that does that one, all those things, you know, killing the way that it's manufactured, making an electric car in 10 hours, and it takes General Motors almost 3 days to make one electric car. They make it in 10 hours because they make all the pieces, they melt it down, the metal, and shoot it into a cast, like a matchbox car sort of. Mm-hmm. Now it gets casted, and then when that piece cools down and comes out, it's the whole chassis. They don't have to have 70 parts here, 80 parts here. We build it. No, it's one piece. You know what I'm saying? So they're killing the game. General Motors and Ford, if you got money in them, I would get it out as soon as possible, bro. They're about to go down. And these Chinese companies are about to blow up. Big time.
But isn't that why? Because China's taking over in Africa, because the resource to build those batteries is the minerals that they've taken over the mines and bought up basically all of the mines that they use the alloys to make the batteries.
No one takes over Africa. They willingly give the stuff away. You know what I'm saying? So no one's taking them over. But, yeah, they are there, and the U.S. and Britain and everyone is letting them be there. We all know who really runs Africa. You know, it ain't the Africans, the Europeans.
Right.
So they're allowing them to be there because China's going to do their dirty work. They're going to do all that, make all this dirty stuff, lithium ion and this, that. That's all killing the environment. And you know what I'm saying?
Right.
They ain't going to make that here and in Europe. They got them doing it over there. They're a slave caste. So now they're going to let them feel like they can eat a little bit. Y'all, you know what I'm saying? Y'all came up. You know what I'm saying? Here y'all go.
Right.
But China's fully controlled by these people, man. And if China gets two out, I think before that Silk Road gets built, China gets bombed. And China thinks that Russia's on their side, but Russians are white. They ain't siding with China over the white people. You know what I'm saying? White people are very race loyal.
They call it White Russia. Remember that.
Belarus. Yes, sir.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And remember, there's no longer a Soviet Union, you know. There's only Russia and there's several different states because Project Monarch went to, and Operation Paperclip went also to Soviet Union to break it up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that happened when I was a little kid, when that wall came down.
Mm-hmm.
And my teacher was telling us,
but
this is a big deal. And I'm like, really? It's a dirty wall. The graffiti all over. What you talking about?
Who was the one that implemented, that was the, his idol, Trump's idol was who? Reagan.
Reagan
was the one that, right, but that's how the wall came down.
Right. When he was dicking back and forth with what's his name, with the red thing on his head.
Gorbachev.
And then you had Nikita Khrushchev was fighting with
him. Right. Now remember what they said back in the day. Khrushchev said that
he's gonna destroy America without firing a shot.
Without firing a one shot. And what are they doing?
They doing it.
Come on.
They're gonna destroy America without firing a shot.
That's right.
They sent in the Jews, brother. That's what they did, man.
Well, remember, these are not the years. These are the years, not the Jews. These are those Ashkenazis that came out of the Caucasus and are spread out all over Eastern Europe, but these are not Jews.
What did Francis Crest Welton call the Semites mean? Half black and half white.
Mm-hmm. They're not Semites.
Do to circumvent that is they redefine what a Semite is.
Right.
Semite is, according to them, people who speak one of the Semitic languages.
Being that
they speak Hebrew, that gives them the right to be called a Semite. Because Hebrew is a Semitic language, even though their language is Yiddish. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
You know, that's the trick they play on that one.
There you go.
But, yeah.
And then they get wearing all black and having their hair all right. In flats and stuff, and trying to look like
what do they wear coming out the side of their head? They don't have the etheric curls like we do with our natural hair.
Right.
So they make themselves have curls.
They plait it. Yeah. They have to make it flat so that it looks like it's curly. Yeah.
Mhm. And women wear wigs. You never see their real hair because that's that's an insult to their husband if you see their wife's hair. So they wear these wigs.
It's like a muffin.
You know what I'm saying? But they got a lot of power. I'm going to tell you that, man.
The power comes in
the fact that they have a bunch of people that are operating off the same code.
Right.
The code circumvents everything. That's our downfall is that we got a bunch of people trying to do their own thing. The code rules with them. You know what I'm saying? And,
right.
That's how they work that whole system. And they got their own police force.
And that's called
their own firefighter force, everything.
Yeah. Right.
Right.
Go ahead.
And that's the part we're missing that's going out of our community anyway. Because values, morals, respect, and what you're talking about is ethics.
Ethics. And they don't have it.
Ethics.
Right.
They will ethically work with each other, even though they don't like each other, but because they are alike in skin tone, they will keep their race going.
Well,
the thing that we got to understand is the Chinese proverb says the beginning of wisdom is to call all things by their proper names.
Right. Let's do that. Let's not call them
proper names.
Yeah, they are the synagogue of Satan. Yeah, that's where they are.
They figured out how to circumvent white supremacy by making themselves the Hebrews from the Bible.
Knowing these
crackers are all Christians. So y'all, Jesus is one of us. See how they work that? Y'all dissing Jesus. They got all these crackers at bay.
One code they don't know, once we know how to do it, the law of the universe, where every action equally opposite reaction. Once we start learning that, we got their ass. We control the matrix on them. It's all about their mind power, not controlling the black electrons that y'all talk about, that darkness. Okay?
Right,
so we got their ass, really. They ain't got no power over us, man. Mm-hmm. Everything they gonna do, everything they do from henceforth gonna be a fucking calamity. Ain't that gonna go right for the ass no more?
And they're the fewest on the planet.
Yep.
Remember, they are the fewest on the planet, and they will be disappeared just like any other trash has been disappeared from the planet by Mama Earth.
And that's why they're trying to get with us to make them babies, man. All the babies are going to come out black. Let them keep messing with us, with the black women, the black men. Every time
right.
they come out, the baby going to be black. That's why you see all these mixed folks walking around now, man. What's somebody business? I wish somebody mute yourself, man. What y'all doing, man?
Somebody,
building the pyramid?
Somebody making a lot of noise.
Yeah, they building the pyramids, ain't
bad. I thought I was muted, man. I started sweeping my floor, man. I'm sorry, man. My kids made a mess. I'm sorry. I thought I was muted.
Yeah, but they tie them up, man. There ain't no problem, man. They tie them up, and they ain't got no power, because now whatever they do backfires. Okay?
Right.
For
yeah,
every action, we in the day of judgment now. We in the day of judgment. Whatever somebody do, you're going to be found out. You're going to be fine
right.
now. Ain't nothing to hit no more.
They're going to do like their ancestors, the Neanderthal. They're going to become extinct.
Mm-hmm. That's right. They are becoming extinct because they are fractions of and partials of the human and the hue womb. Okay? These are the human beings, the Laika human. That our ancestors messing around in old Mechtown and over in elsewhere, putting things together, putting pieces together, in order to have their own enslaved group, you know, going against the whole covenant and all that, you know, and that's how I think we are in the situation we're in, because if you look back in our story, you're going to see all of this. I mean, you're going to just see it. It's more or less now, straight up now, you can just see it all taking place, you know, period after period after period, you know. And
right.
And when you look at how the Moors conquered in Iberia in 711, and between 711 and 1492, what they had accomplished, the largest mosque in the world, so big, they built the Catholic Church inside the mosque. Our ancestors are the most. We introduced the seven levels. You know, come on,
you know,
man. We got to get into our own story.
Right, just like, you know, we talk about that, and the greatest fleet that ever sailed that left the continent was Amabaraka in 1311. That was Mana Musa's brother.
Mana Musa,
changed the price of gold for the world when he went on his Hajj to Mecca. But
that's
his
right.
brother turned around and brought 2,000 ships. Every ship, they had 1,000 ships. Every ship had its supply ship with it. And they came and settled in the South Americas and explored up the Mississippi and through the Four Corners all the way up to the Iroquois nations, up the Mississippi into Minnesota area. This is what they call it, the land of 10,000 lakes and 12,000 mounds, because they built the earth mounds for every lake they found.
Oh, yeah, okay. Well, we are the mound builders here. We are the mound builders that built mounds from coast to coast. And again, I always want people to remember that Meriwether Lewis of the Lewis and Clark Expedition wrote in his chronicle on his way back, wherever they went west of the Mississippi, we found the spiral hair people in charge, not the stringy hair people they sent to greet us, unquote. That's in the Empress's book, Return of the Ancient Ones. Remember that. We were in charge from coast to coast in this land already. We, the melanated people, the copper tone people, the dark, the light, the sepia, all those various complexions, were already in this land from coast to coast.
Yeah, we had that's where they get the hues. There were different hues of us.
There you go.
We come from the blue-black to the red bone.
Right. There you go.
Hey, gentlemen, I'm going to go. It's been a pleasure.
Okay.
Always.
Well, it's
but
you gave us a lot, man.
We
beautiful.
Overtime.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah.
I want.
Thank
I hope you. To open the door though where we keep, because you know, I'm guilty of this always too, because you know I like to run my mouth, but you know we gotta start having these conversations, moving in the future instead of always, you know, talking about the past, because we're going back again, and they're about to create a damn metaverse. You know what I'm saying? Like, none of this information about who came here and sailed there, that's all great.
Right.
But
right.
What they'll do for us is they'll create Kemet for us on the metaverse, where we could go and be kings and queens, and they'll create a Morocco for us, and we still be in the same position we at right now. You know what I'm saying?
Michael
so we
Jackson
gotta think
him already.
About what's gonna happen next. You know what I'm saying? And
yes.
I love
Can
y'all.
I Jackson, to him. That most.
Yes, yes.
One question, and for that, I commend you on bringing it to the forefront. The thing that we're looking at is, do we have those that look like us are designing places on the metaverse for us to be able to say that we can come in and go into our own virtual world?
Man, I don't know, man. Like, I was talking earlier about the cars because I've been doing a lot of research into that for investment purposes, and they got these hydrogen cars, and I looked at this, found this pamphlet with 88 biggest companies coming up making hydrogen cars, because I think this is really, I think the batteries is impractical, you know what I'm saying, it's going to be expensive, these are going to be cheaper, this is going to really be the move, it's the hydrogen, and it was one brother out of all the 88 people that was doing this. And I said, damn.
One
you know
brother.
What I'm saying? One
wow.
brother had a company.
Yep.
So I hope that's and we need to be pushing our kids, our grandkids, whoever the young people are in your life. Listen, man, figure out what this is. Learn how to code it, because coding is going to be key.
Mm-hmm.
We're going into a jobless society. All the jobs seem like they're going to be here in this metaverse. You know what I'm saying? They got robots coming, everything. You know, I could have did a whole show on robots. You know, they got some new stuff.
And that's,
so,
that's what, and that's what I was talking about when I pulled out this book, because I was talking about this in 95, the technology for African-centered education and how we're going to and how we're gonna help our children for the 21st century.
Hey,
this is when internet was coming out.
Somebody sleep.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Somebody,
they cloning
that
people,
must
man.
Be.
They cloning. No, they ain't me. They cloning people. Not something. Else. They still cloning people. They talking about they lied. Talking about they stopped cloning. Hell no. They cloning people, man. That's bullshit
are.
Right there.
Oh, yeah.
Mhm. That was
thank you, gentlemen.
All right.
Yeah, that
thank
was Michael was
us.
About, man. All right, a beautiful show.
Better love, man.
Better
love.
Yes.
Thank
enjoy
you,
Bev. Thank
thanks
you
so
much. Much.
Thanks, Bev.
Okay, thank you. All right, thank everybody.
All right.
And
love.
I'll be back. Better love. I'll be back Monday with Dr. Robert X here with us. So,
if we don't, my grandma
thank you,
gonna
everyone.
Get it,
everyone.
If we don't, my grandma will get it.
Thank you.
Better love.
It's fun for all.
Them. Neighborhood know we coming. Jake hate them, snakes cannot violate him. Pimp memorize his lines verbatim. He reps in YO, gives he knows the Wino. Not church, this how we tied though. He walks the tenement, sleeps at a super fly condo. My kind of nigga, my icon, my idol. No certificate for this misfit who handle business. The odds stacked against him, he fights back Mac and Benzes. Never puts cash or ass before a friendship. He laughs last, as some die young, he is still existing. Somehow he got around the pitfalls of the system. When he walks, we watch. When he talks, we listen.
it. Look into the mirror and it's you, I say look at me. Everything you like it fresh from the factory. Everything you do it impact me. Your lifestyle attract me, parents try distract me. When I grow up I want to be like you exactly. And as soon as I get over this acne, there's no way anybody could have stopped me. My gravity, the wadi aura, and all the mannerism, descending out of order, and man start moving busy. The locking of the corners, the streets and all the buildings. Me love you like a father, me ready and me willing. Anything where you are taught is lying my dominion, and me have similar thoughts. I share the same opinions, me have it say it's smart. With my best interest at heart, I'm following your path. Don't mind where you are what.
The Caesar, the monsters, the grandiose, the martyrs, the hell on earth pompers, Ellsworth, Bumpy Johnsons, the Harlemites, the Garveyites, black as the credit card we swipe, popping down the knife for all of mine. I can see myself back at the Audubon, Malcolm on the podium, sales drop to linoleum, swipe those, place them on display at the Smithsonian, next to only gems that were left behind by holy men, infectious, charisma of those who gave us direction, the anti-sexes, resistance against oppression, progressive thinking, ghetto speakers, protesters against the colored only section, to the Genesixin, the Frost Nixon, the contradiction, the cross, the crucifixion, the loss we took for sinning, on Easter's back inscription, that it was written, that nothing is coincidence, and they took our leaders and they lynched them.
It's fun for all the leaders.